It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Christina Warren joins Odocta, Owen J.J. Stone, and Ian Thompson. We've got lots to talk about. Our video games to blame for the Florida shooting, the drone that caused a helicopter crash, the end of Facebook, and an amazing deal for a showrunner at Netflix, just as long as he doesn't have to put Mickey Mouse in Stranger Things. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 654, recorded Sunday, February 18th, 2018. Bye-bye, Mr. Ajit Pai. This Week in Tech is brought to you by WordPress. Make WordPress.com your online home. Plans start at just $4 a month. Go to WordPress.com/TWiT to get 15% off your brand new website today. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TWiT. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/TWiT2. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Ian Thompson is here from theregister.co.uk. Consistently, Ian, my congratulations. Consistently, the best coverage. You just can't not read.
Ah, we have fun.
And you know, some of the some of the headlines, just awesome.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
Just awesome. You write your own, I take it.
Well, I write my own, but I submit them to my editor.
And he didn't change it.
8 times out of 10, he will change it. But occasionally you sneak one through and you get that feeling just like, yeah, getting it. You know?
Christina Warren is here, film girl, now at a senior cloud dev advocate at Microsoft. But we decided that that does not in any way disqualify you from covering the industry. If you wish recuse yourself, if any cloud dev stories appear, you can. I doubt they will. In fact, I know they won't. But it's always a pleasure to have you, Christina. And I love it because she's strategically placed that Clueless movie poster to hide a multitude of sins.
My office is so messy. I'm so sorry.
Are you at work or at home? Is this your office at work?
I'm at home. No, yeah. my work office, actually, I should have done it there, but it's a long weekend, so I didn't. Next time we do this, I'll do it from my work office because I have a Will Ferrell elf stand-up, like a cardboard stand-up that somehow found its way into my office. I'm not really sure how.
Find its way in there, right?
No, genuinely. I walked in one day and it was there, and so I'm keeping it and I'm trying to decorate it during every holiday to make it festive. So yeah, next time we do this, I'll do it from my office on campus.
I can't imagine a more appropriate home, frankly, for Will Ferrell.
I'm just wondering where you're going to put the balls on it with Christmas, but no.
We call them here balls. Yeah. also with us, he's Odocta and he's a happy man. Owen J.J. Stones, the Eagles, the Birds.
I know it's a tech show, but we still Super Bowl champions. Eagles fly out here in these streets. Oh. I've been embarrassing my daughter with this hat every day. She said, when are you going to start wearing a hat? I said, when the batteries die. When the batteries die.
He is wearing a Philadelphia Eagles baseball cap with a flying bird. It actually flaps its wings.
Yep. This relates to the Ahmed rugby contest that we had.
Eyes blink green and it squawks out here in these streets.
Actually, there is a tech story about Tom Brady this week. And not a good story, but it has nothing to do with Tom Brady. A judge
has ruled
that embedding a tweet with copyright material can violate copyright. This was completely contrary to previous decisions in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. A federal judge in New York on Thursday said that nine news organizations had violated copyright by embedding a tweet that included a picture of Tom Brady that was owned by somebody else, Barry Chin from the Boston Globe. No, that's just the picture. Oh, I guess the Hollywood Reporter didn't want to put the copyright picture in their article because they didn't want to be named in the suit. So that's somebody else's picture. It was an image of Tom Brady and Celtics general manager Danny Ainge and others on a street 2 years ago. Justin Goldman, the photographer, uploaded the photo to Snapchat. The photo went viral. Others uploaded it to Twitter. Subsequently, these nine news organizations embedded the tweets with the image and stories about whether the Celtics would successfully recruit Kevin Durant. They better damn well not. But that's another story.
Well, yes. I mean,
that's another story.
This has really set the cat amongst the pigeons with publishers because it's, you know, if embedding tweets and stories is now obviously a thing. And it's kind of, you know, where do you go with this? Because if you get it wrong once, you can get sued to hell and back.
So this is the opinion from U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Forrest. She wrote, when the Copyright Act was amended in 1976, the words tweet, viral, and embed invoked thoughts of a bird, a disease, and a reporter. Nicely put. Decades later, we should offer her a job at the Register. Decades later, these same turns have taken on new meanings as the centerpieces of an interconnected worldwide web in which images are shared with dizzying speed over the course of any given news day. She basically implies that embedding is something that coders do, that it is a elaborate thing.
That's why Twitter provides the easy to use click button to do it.
Right, right. And the option to embed either the video or the photo or the tweet. You can just embed the video or the photo.
Yeah. She says the fact that the image was hosted on a server owned and operated by an unrelated third party, Twitter, does not shield the defendants from copyright violation. Now, in the past, and the case that comes up again and again is the Ninth Circuit's judgment in Perfect 10 versus Amazon.com, which was Perfect 10 had images. I don't remember. I dimly remember it. Thumbnail images of naked models appearing in Google image search.
Right. And then that's been like the kind of case law, right?
So yes.
Up until this point.
And they call that the server test. So let me see if I can. The direct liability of a website publisher for copyright infringement turns on whether the image is hosted on the publisher's own service. In this case, it wasn't. It was an embedded link of a tweet. But she held that it was still copyright infringement.
Well, I've read the report and I'm not entirely clear on this. Maybe everyone's can help on this, but I think the problem was that they'd used the image, but taken not from the tweet of the person that had taken it, but from the tweet of other people that had just copied it.
Other people's tweets.
And I think if you take it from the original person, then you're in the clear. But if you take it from something that's being copied.
But it was never on Twitter. It was on Snapchat.
Ah, okay.
Snapchat does not have an embedding feature, obviously.
Okay, that's a little different.
Yeah.
And maybe if you retweet it, you could skate getting in trouble because you're like, I didn't post first. They put it. I just retweeted.
Well, they're not retweets. They're embedded tweets. I don't think that's different, is it?
Side note for the internet, it's the Celtics. I've been waiting to correct you.
Oh, I said Celtics. Celtics.
It's the because the internet will destroy you all week for saying that.
Even though Boston mispronounces it, the Celtics.
It's the car wash.
No, I knew it's the Celtics. I just like to troll people.
Okay, just checking.
Trying to get
just
a checking. Job in Russia. Yeah.
Okay. So in this case, it was a Snapchat screenshot that was taken and then embedded. Someone else embedded it in a tweet, and then the news publisher
people tweeted it. Lots of people tweeted it.
Right. Well, lots of people tweeted it. That's interesting because I can kind of, I guess, maybe see the argument if it didn't originate as something that someone embedded originally on Twitter, even though it seems semantical. Because, for instance, you do see certain news organizations who have permission from wire services like the AP or Getty or Reuters or whoever to have permission to put those photos on social media. When I worked at both Mashable and Gizmodo, we had those clauses built into our relationships with those places. And we could say definitively, you can use this image on, you know, just a post, or you can use it on a post and on social media. And so in that case, I would assume that because we had licensed permission to use that photograph, if someone wanted to embed that tweet someplace, it would still be licensed. Although that's not really clear from this judgment. But in this case, it seems like the original person who tweeted this didn't have a license to the image. And therefore, anybody who subsequently embedded the tweet without a license, the judge is saying they're still violating copyright regardless of where it was hosted.
Yeah, she it is very interesting. She actually quotes the Aereo case. Remember Aereo?
Yes.
Was rebroadcasting local TV stations, and their loophole was that, well, the user is renting a little nickel-sized antenna from us.
Yep.
And they're watching only their own antenna.
And how did that go down?
In the end, Aereo lost. This, I think it was the Supreme Court held.
It did go to the Supreme Court. Yeah, because I was there. I'd covered that case from the beginning. And yeah, they lost hard.
So Aereo's argument was, it's not us. It's not our fault. It's the users violating copyright. And that did not hold water.
Christina probably knows more on that. But it struck me that the argument was that we're doing whatever free public broadcasting does anyway.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly
we're
it.
We're just doing it on a larger scale.
That was the Aereo argument. And the Aereo argument wasn't even so much putting the onus on the users. It was saying, we have created this array and you are simply using, you're following standard over the air things. It just so happens that this antenna doesn't reside in your physical home. It exists in a warehouse in Jersey someplace or deep in Queens. I can't remember where it was now. And that's how it's being transmitted, not so much that the users might be violating, you know, copyright or whatnot. But I can understand why that case would be cited, because their ultimate argument failed. So she's saying it doesn't matter where it originates.
Exactly.
If you host
the server
content,
argument doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter, which is really scary to me. I mean, putting aside whether or not people should, you know, because a lot of places, full disclosure, I'm sure that I've done this, have gotten around the fact that they didn't have rights to an image by simply embedding a tweet or a video of that image or video.
Now,
that's been a very common loophole.
We should point out, this is not the end of it. This was merely a motion for summary judgment.
Yeah.
And the judge rejected that and said, no, you guys are going to trial. And she pointed out that, in fact, there might be some legitimate fair use protections because she says in this case there are questions about whether the photographer effectively released his image into the public domain when he posted it to his Snapchat account.
Well, technically, even with that, he put it on his Snapchat because he's like, look, it's going to be up here for a little bit, then it's going to disappear. So he was expecting it to come down, and he was probably going to post it wherever else he wanted to later.
Yeah.
He was just in that moment, because you put it on Snapchat, hey, everybody, just remember, stuff doesn't disappear when somebody screenshot your stuff.
I do have some sympathy for the photographer, because that's his image, and he wants to sell it, or he wants to make money off of it. And all of a sudden, these big publishers are just using it. In effect, they're using it without permission to promote their products.
Their own content.
I kind of have some sympathy for him. At the same time, you really do want to preserve the server defense, because you don't want all of a sudden anybody who does a retweet, like, should I worry about retweeting?
Yeah, I mean,
we've seen this with the Olympics, right? Like, the Olympics are, and NBC and BBC and others are very, very stingy about what you can screen cap and what you can't. And they will even take down people's personal photos and personal videos
I'll give you
that
an
they're
example.
Taking.
Somebody takes a picture of the lit up Eiffel Tower. You can't copyright the Eiffel Tower, but you can copyright the lights on it. Paris has. They assert the right to that picture. Now, you took the picture. You posted it on your Twitter account. They could go after you. But if I retweet you, according to this decision, they could also go after me.
Right. Well, what I was going to say is, what we've seen with the Olympics and we've seen with the NFL is that oftentimes, you know, tweets will be taken down, and that people who do retweets, you know, sometimes I don't know of any instances where people's accounts have received strikes, but certainly, you know, if you've retweeted something and that tweet is taken down, then it's gone. And it's been the same sort of thing where if you've embedded a tweet that is then taken down, that embed goes away. I guess my big thing with this, because I'm with you, I have sympathy for the photographer. I have sympathy for someone who's saying, I didn't license my photos to be used this way. It was taken by a party that wasn't licensed, and now it's been embedded all over the place. But you know, it does make it very difficult if you are a news organization, or if you're an individual, or if you're anyone, to then say, well, how do I determine if the person who posted this had copyright or had permission to post this? Because presumably, again, if you have a license with Getty or whoever, or the photographer, to post it on Twitter, then the terms of the embed agreement should say, well, if I embed this on another site, this is allowed. But how am I to know if you had the permission to do this or not? So I feel like it's a really slippery slope to then say, well, because you inserted this code that Twitter provides and basically very much promotes the people use, you're now going to be responsible for something, when to me it should really be, okay, you know, you go to Twitter and you say, I didn't license this. They take it down, and then the embed stops working. Like, to me, that seems like the more fair solution, rather than potentially having case law. And as you said, this is just a summary judgment rejection. It's going to go to trial that could put a lot of things at jeopardy.
And the judge said there are some affirmative defenses here. I'm not throwing your case out. I'm just saying. Florida dude in the chat room raises an interesting point. Doesn't posting an image on Snapchat make that image the property of Snapchat?
If you look at the terms and conditions, it probably does.
I think it's dual licensed.
Right. You own it still, but we now have the right to reuse it in other ways.
Right. And in fact, that was a big thing after Facebook bought Instagram, that people were freaking out because they were reading the terms of service and they were saying, oh, Facebook says they can do whatever they want with this, including using it in advertisements or whatever. And Facebook came back and was saying, no, we're really just saying that we could show, you know, this in your feed to say people you might want to follow. We're not actually going to be using your stuff in ads, or, you know, like traditional, advertisements, like on TV and stuff. But that was a big concern when Facebook bought Instagram, that the users had, is what's going to happen to my content. So I'm sure that there are things within that agreement that basically give a license for it to be viewed and potentially, you know, Snapchat to do whatever they want to do with it. But I don't know if that means that, you know, for instance, if Snapchat had maybe posted a tweet with that image, then maybe that would be one thing. But if a third party is screenshotting the image and is then posting it to Twitter, a different service, I don't think that Snapchat, you know, could, I mean, maybe they could claim a copyright defense and on behalf of the user, but I don't think that it would be one of those things where, you know, that would be, you're giving up all your rights to your images. I think it's kind of a dual license thing.
See, I can't help feeling that if you publish something on social media and people retweet it, that's the point of social media. I mean, I've taken a couple of photos which I've then had sent back to me. Have you seen this? It's like, well, I bloody took it, but someone else has retweeted it, and that's the way it goes. And, you know, it's as simple as that. If you're a professional photographer, you've got the right to defend your images, but get some kind of watermarking on it before you put it on social media.
It is not okay, however, to post this on Twitter. Mark Hamill, apparently there were rumors going around that he had passed away, Luke Skywalker. So he posted on Twitter, Mark Hamill, 1951 to 2018, alive and well, hashtag, don't rush me.
He looks so much better without the beard as well. That did him no favors at all.
Yeah, the beard was not, but that, you know, it's a movie. He's got to do something. So we have kind of not mentioned, and it's so sad. I hate to even bring it up, and yet it is a huge tech story, of course. I'm talking about the shooting, horrific shooting in Parkland, Florida. But what I'm finding fascinating is how the students of the high school are going to Twitter and becoming activists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And using Twitter there to organize rallies, to respond to Twitter pundits who are blaming everybody but the gun. It's really remarkable to watch these young people who grew up in a Twitter era use Twitter so effectively.
I think this is the way it's going to go. This is how you're actually going to get some sensible change in this country, because they're sick of it. They've grown up with armed, you know, with shooting drills and the rest of it in a way that we never had to, and they're understandably sick of it. And it's about to, if they lead the charge, I'm with them.
It's kind of kind of hard when you're reading statements from kids who were there, who had lost friends.
You saw the Twitter conversation between the two brothers. on the set on different floors, and one of them was just like,
during the event,
I'm sorry, I've never valued you enough, and the rest of it. And the guy just responds, my teacher's dead. And it was just, I sat there reading it, and it was just like,
that's when Twitter has some real import and some real value.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the side story that Russian driven trolls are now invading Twitter.
We're going to have to get used to that. It's going to be a feature for a while.
To create a disarray and discord. And it's just, in a nutshell, the Twitter story, that it is both capable of amazing communication and information, and at the same time, such a cesspool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a tone-deaf request to one of the students who was tweeting about it from a journalist from an organization.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go there, because the pop filter doesn't cover spit that much. A journalist called up and said, oh, you're in the school shooting, would you mind talking? And it's like, you know, slightly bigger things on my mind.
Actually, that was a 4chan, that was a hoax.
Really, that was a hoax.
So there were some fabricated, this is another misuse of Twitter. There was a journalist, was it the Post? I can't remember which newspaper she was looking for, who had tweeted, but her tweets were edited, modified, and then posted on Twitter to imply that she asked students if the shooter was black and if there were any pictures of
that.
Bodies
no, okay.
that they could. And these were fake. And this is another problem, which is, of course, it's completely easy to fake this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's another problem is, you don't know when you read something on Twitter what its provenance is.
Well, I think this is one of the key things Twitter's got to get sorted out, is it's got to check sources in terms of, where is this person posting from? Are they using a VPN to do it from? That will allow people a much greater remit to actually decide whether or not what they're reading is worth reading.
Owen, you're usually the voice of the people of reason. What do you think?
Okay, I was hoping you actually skipped me, because
it's devastating.
It's not devastating. People die every day, and apparently the people running the country don't care that kids die. It's not private schools that are getting shot up, so it doesn't really matter to them. And it's great that these kids are doing what they're doing. You always got misinformation. My big thing about technology is the FBI had information that this kid was posting dead stuff and doing all this stuff on the internet. So that's the technology story that gets me. They're out here, the NSA, whoever it is combing all this information. The Boston bomber, I could go list on and on. FBI had these people under surveillance, sent people out to their home to talk to them. And what do you do? Oh, well, you know, he's messed up.
Yeah, but Owen, I will defend that. Like, that is the price we pay to be in a free society. There are limits. Now, I think it is the case that the FBI bungled this one, that they missed it.
They bungled a lot of them.
They missed it. But at the same time, we don't live in a society where as soon as somebody says something like that or tweets something like that, he's thrown into jail and the key is thrown away.
I don't want to. Okay. So I don't need him thrown into jail. But if you've gone to the point where you've gone out and met this person, investigated this person, then maybe you should.
They
go
needed
and
to do that.
Kind of,
and they did, I don't know if they did that. Yeah.
Then you need to go and provide some kind of help or some kind of program. I know there's too many people, but this guy is somebody they had a large interest in. He had people looking at him, and apparently, you know, everybody in his family passed away. There has to be some kind of adult that you could talk to get to understand what is going on in this person's head when these people are posted like that.
I don't think it's ever – you're never going to have perfection in that. I think without having a society that is completely – it's exactly the opposite of the open society we want to live in. I think that is unfortunate. I wish that there were a better answer.
You see, but the police have spent
– let me –
okay, sorry.
Just let me finish. I don't need perfection. You know the two things I need? All the kids putting all stuff, great. Go get money out of politics. Go run for something. Write a bill that says no outside money. The government says, here, you're a senator, you get 10 grand, you're a president, you get $100 million, whatever. But the money has to come from us, because outside money, NRA's got the budget. They're never going to change it. The second thing is, I know this is a tech show, but about guns, the fact that I can get a gun easier than I can get a driver's license is something insane. Just to take the whole DMV and apply it to guns. You have to take a written test. You have to take a test with an instructor to show that you can shoot. You have to go and renew it every couple of years. When you sell the gun, you have to have a bill of receipt to the person you sold it to, and they get taxes on it so they know where the gun went. So you can't say 10 years later, oh, somebody stole it. I forgot to report it. Like, just use the DMV as a guide. Mm-hmm. For gun control. I'm a gun owner. I love guns. I love shooting guns. But I'm just saying, if you had real common sense, people could still get their guns and guns wouldn't disappear. 18-year-olds wouldn't just be able to go buy a gun without anything. It's just it's annoying.
And it's then there's the governor of Kentucky who, by the way, beat Drew Curtis of FARC, who we were supporting.
Yeah.
Technically literate guy. Matt Bevin won in Kentucky. And he blames violent video games.
Oh yeah, because you know.
And I'm so tired of this. You know, I was in high school when Columbine happened. I was in college when Virginia Tech happened. And I would have hoped that 19 years after Columbine that we would have been past this point where we're blaming media, we're blaming music or video games or whatever, and we're actually looking at the problem, which, as you know, Docta was saying, is very largely easy access to firearms. The fact that it's more difficult for me to get birth control pills than it is for someone to buy a gun is insane to me. You know, I mean, forget about even the DMV thing. It's literally harder to get, you know, contraceptives in this country than it is to get a firearm. And that's nuts. And the fact that the immediate place to go is blaming video games as if that's the problem.
When they're white mass shooters, it's video games. When it's a black kid that got shot with a hoodie on, he's a thug and he scared somebody. I just, you know, I see again. The thing that cracks me up the most is the perception that they put on. This kid was an upset kid. He's young. How's he a kid? He's 19 years old. He just shot 17 people. And my thing is, too, he wants to get out of, I mean, just execute the person. Let everybody know this is what you want to do. You want to play crazy. You want to be crazy. You do this, you die too. Nope, put him in jail. I'm not spending $4 million for this guy who's 19.
And actually, Owen, it costs more. It costs more to execute him than it does to put him in jail for the rest of his life. So if it's the dollar savings you're looking for, that's the wrong
apparently
argument.
Bullets are cheap, bro. Bullets are 25 cents, dime a dozen.
Yeah, but
yeah, that, you see,
that's
I
not how it works.
Well, okay.
I don't know. 17 kids.
It's tempting. I know. It's tempting, but again, I think that there's something to be said for the rule of law in this nation, and I think we are at a nation where we have certain. I think we revere certain freedoms, and I don't think that I agree with you that it's odd that it's easier to buy a AR-15 in Florida than it is to buy a handgun. He was actually too young to buy a handgun.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he bought an AR-15 at the age of 18, and he had 3 years to go before he could even buy a beer.
Yeah.
That's just bonkers.
Well, he'd taken the AR-15 to either school or youth events, you know? I mean, that's what's insane to me, is that people knew that he had these guns. And I do think that people should be taking warning signs more seriously. I don't think anyone's arguing
and
that.
There's no evidence he played a lot of video games, as far as I know.
No, there's not.
The whole video games argument.
It's just the place people want to go to. And yeah, exactly. How old is this argument? It's like, what is this, Tipper Gore in 1993 saying that you know, blaming stuff on iced tea again? Like, this is ridiculous. There's never been any proven stuff going even back to Dungeons and Dragons being blamed in the 70s for cult stuff that was all up.
Do you think, though, in the larger argument, I'm not going to, you know, honor Matt Bevin with agreement, but in the larger argument, we do have a violent culture.
You have
it's not about, hold on, wait for you to answer real quick. I'm sorry.
No,
it's not about the video game violence. It's not about any of that stuff. You know what it's about? It's about a girlfriend. All these dudes are lonely. Nobody likes them. They're alone. Maybe we need to get a girlfriend program. Forget them playing video games being violent. A lot of kids are playing video games and happy every day shooting up stuff. The dude is the guy that shot at the church. No friends, a virgin, never had a girl. That's the thing. If you see a dude that's lonely walk around with a gun, somebody go up and kiss him. That's how you stop this whole thing. Because once you fall in love, your whole mindset changed. But when you're alone and ain't nobody loved you, you get real squirrely. So go ahead and continue. I'm sorry, but violence is not a problem in America. We've been violent. We're okay with violence.
But this is something, as a foreigner coming into this country, that you notice is really, really different about it. Because the entire country freaked out over Janet Jackson's nipple. Yet you can turn on the TV and see people getting their heads blown apart left, right,
and center. Always the dichotomy here, right? Is that we are very afraid of anything that is you know, sexual in nature. We're very prudish in that way, but we are very much embracing of violence. And that is obviously the difference if you go to Europe, where it's oftentimes the inverse. But I will say, you know, I mean, and the studies have proven this, that gun violence is a uniquely American problem, or that school shootings, especially like this, are a uniquely American problem. And it's because we have more guns, even if you know, do it down to the number of population, you get the ratio correct. And so, but it's something we haven't really embraced. And when you look at, you know, video games and do we have violent, you know, media? Of course we do, but that hasn't really, there hasn't been any proof and correlation in that.
No.
What the proof and correlation has been access to firearms. And that's why I get angry. You know, again, like I said, I would have really hoped that nearly 20 years later, we wouldn't still be having, you know, kids scared and worried and having to have, you know, shooting drills. And in this case, you know, the shooter knew about the drills and kind of followed that protocol to make it even worse for people. We shouldn't have to have, you know, kids who were in the school watching their teachers and watching their fellow students, you know, get murdered, have to be the voice of reason here. And yet they are. And instead, the politicians want to talk about video games, which it's like, and as you said, Leo, there's been no proof whatsoever that he even played video games or was even, you know, obsessed with that sort of thing. But just the fact that it's easier for us to go there and blame culture rather than to look at the root cause, which is, to me, access to firearms, that's really disappointing.
I hope never to see this headline in The Onion again.
Every time it's spot on.
It's so sad. No way to prevent this, says the only nation where this regularly happens.
Three years ago, my daughter was 7. I made a video talking to her about active shooters. My daughter knows what to do in a movie theater. She knows what to do in school. And people are like, oh, you shouldn't be talking to your kid about that. You're crazy. What's wrong with you? And I'm sitting here looking at the clock like, well, at least my daughter knows what to do in an active shooter situation.
Yeah.
She knows what to do if that whole concert thing went down. Like, we got a whole system. I got firecrackers in my trunk. We go to the park. Every once in a while, I pop one off just to make sure she's aware.
No
lie. Come check my trunk right now. I'll take my car.
You look, actually I set up firecrackers to see what your daughter will do.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's sad.
Because I'm not Jason Bourne, but I'm not playing that.
It's not sad that you do it. It's sad that you have to do it. I completely understand why you do it.
She just got done wrestling. Her last wrestle match was today. And guys are out there, why do you have your daughter out here wrestling? I'm like, because she learns wrist control and hip control. And if anybody's trying to take you down, what do men do when they force women down?
Yeah.
Wrists, hips. So I don't care what nobody else is doing. I'm raising a ninja. She can go ahead and take care of herself.
Bravo. I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all. It's just sad that you have to.
Sad you have to be that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just weird that, you know, we had a mass shooting in the UK in the late 80s in Hungerford, and we banned semi-automatics and automatic shotguns after that. Then we had the Dunblane shooting in the 90s, and pretty much everything was banned. And we haven't had a mass shooting since. Now, I'm not
same
a scientist.
Thing in Australia after
same
Port
thing
Arthur.
In Australia and after Port Arthur. I'm not a scientist, but it does seem to me there is a connection between people not shooting people not having the guns to shoot people.
I worry that we're so far down the road. There are 42 million guns in
this is the
nation.
Problem. Right. America is a special case.
You could ban guns outright right now, which never happened politically. There's still so many guns out there. I don't know.
I don't say ban, just as you know.
Even if you did, I don't know if it'd have any impact.
In the short term, no. But I think if you use the DMV example that you gave, you know, this is a long-term process. There's no way you're going
to
demilitarize the U.S. instantly. You've got
to start
baby steps.
And I do think the violent culture, we have to consider that. I believe in the First Amendment. I'm not saying you should ban video games or violent movies, but I think we should think about.
But if you look at the proportion of gamers per country, the Japanese are so far ahead of us in terms of playing violent video games.
And they're much less violent.
And they're much less violent. You can't draw a direct correlation between there. I mean, admittedly, yes, those of us who grew up with Pac-Man in the 70s and 80s did end up going around darkened clubs, gobbling pills and jumping around. But that was another matter entirely. But, you know, when it comes to blaming this on video games, I'm sorry, this is just a canard. We've been through this before.
I've been reading Bill Gates' favorite book.
What, one of his own?
Well, Stephen, he no, actually no. Bill Gates blogged about Stephen Pinker's new book, which I haven't read yet, Enlightenment Now, The Case for Science, Reason, Humanism, and Progress. But Pinker's previous book is called The Better Angels of Our Nature. And it makes a very compelling case that we are, in fact, getting less and less violent. That compared to previous societies, previous generations, you know, you had a in every society up until the last century, you had roughly a 1 in 15 chance of dying in a violent death, and it's about a fifth of that now.
And also people had more kids in those days, so you could afford to lose a few.
That's why they had more kids, because you never knew.
You know, half of them are going to die in childbirth.
However, it still feels like it's too violent of a culture, and it breaks your heart.
Hey, Uncle Leo, you know, slavery is violent. Getting rid of Indians is violent. The British are coming is violent. The crack epidemic in the 80s is violent. I mean, dude, there's been violence. You know, segregation was
That's Pinker's point, though. Yeah.
I'm just saying, video games and this now era, this is total PC. You can't bully nobody. You can't do nothing. This is the least America we could talk about right now. So, in perspective.
That's exactly his point. Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, it feels very violent, but at the same time, it's not. Yeah. Historically, it's
we're sitting
not.
Here talking about tech on a Sunday.
Thank God.
Yeah,
living exactly. the dream.
Thank God. Yes, and we're going to move on. But I have to say, it's as every time I go, I hate Twitter. I wish Twitter would go away. then things like that happen. I mean, there were people tweeting children in the classroom saying, this happened to me 10 years ago. Keep your head down. Stay quiet. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. They were communicating during the shooting via Twitter. I don't know what to make of it. All I can do is observe is we live in interesting times.
That's both the blessing and the curse, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, it's...
And then the story that the Russians have mobilized their internet trolls to get in there on the Twitter.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to deal with this because this is going to be a feature now of social media until a stop is put to it somehow.
How?
They don't pay me the big bucks for that.
As I think you all know, the indictments that came down on Friday from Robert Mueller and the Russia investigation indicted 13 Russian nationals for... for years, not even just 2016, but going back to 2014, trying to sow discord, confusion in our politics, but not just our politics, using fake accounts, troll accounts set up by with stolen identities from real Americans,
and even charging people to use their fake sites. I mean, whoever thought this up was just...
It's the Internet Research Agency.
KGB jiu-jitsu thinking.
Incredible. And Facebook says 126 million Americans may have been exposed to material that Internet Research Agency, the Russian agency, created. That was last fall. Twitter admitted that many hundreds of thousands... Well, they said thousands. I think it's probably many hundreds of thousands of fake accounts. All of them look real. All of them look like they're real Americans. I don't know how you would tell the difference. It's kind of stunning, although, as you pointed out before the show, it's not like we don't have a long and rich history in the United States of influencing other
people. You're trying to get me deported, sir.
Other people's politics. Maybe it's the game as it's played. But you do have to wonder what the culpability is of Mark Zuckerberg and of Jack Dorsey, of Twitter, of Facebook.
They're desperate to avoid any semblance of culpability. And I'm sorry, that dog won't hunt. I mean, I've been down at Facebook briefings where they've been like, we want to be the front page of the daily newspaper of the internet. Well, with that comes responsibility to make sure that stuff you're putting on the front page is real. You know, as journalists, we get sued. We get for libel if we get that wrong. Facebook are just, we're a platform. It's not our responsibility.
We're a platform.
Yeah,
well, I thought this week's Wired article, the cover story on Wired from Fred Vogelstein and Nick Thompson was so good because it really kind of highlighted the internal struggle that Facebook has had for many years now, but it really covered the last 2 years of, are we a media company or are we a platform? And like you, Ian, I've had many conversations with people at Facebook on their news teams where they've kind of wanted to have it both ways. And what I thought was really interesting, though, is that Facebook has only started to even kind of investigate and maybe even take, ironically, a hands-off approach, which only leads to more of this confusion because they're so afraid of regulation. They're so afraid of regulators stepping in and saying, okay, you have to be responsible for some of the stuff that is happening on your platform and some of the, you know, the way information is spreading. And they're so afraid of getting into any of that, that the response has been to simply say, oh, well, we don't have any control over this, which obviously is BS because, you know, as their own investigations have proven, they should have known when, you know, Russians were making ad buys, you know, were these, you know,
although I have to say now after these indictments, it's clear that the Russian ad buys were coming from what looked like American companies, American people.
Well, yes, but in some cases they weren't. In
some of them
were in
rubles, yes.
Right. And so the fact that, you know, a company that is as data driven as Facebook, which is one of the most data driven companies on the planet, doesn't have things to kind of look at and say, wait a minute, does this make sense that someone paying in rubles is you know, buying an ad buy to go to, you know, East Texas? Is that odd?
One thing Facebook's resisted, and I wish they would give up this resistance, although they haven't yet, is identifying who buys the ads. You know,
yes.
If you buy a radio or television ad in this country for a political candidate, you have to say who you are, who's paying for this ad.
And
digital ads don't have that requirement.
That has to be
don't.
Enforced.
That's the feature. Yeah, exactly.
And Facebook lobbied hard to keep that from being enforced.
Oh, yeah,
because
it means extra costs for them.
Google has as well, because it's all about automation. The whole way that their ad system works is to be automated, is you know, to not have the middleman. That's the entire point of DoubleClick. That's the entire reason that the industry is what it is.
And that's why you get malware and Bitcoin miners and YouTube ads and all sorts of...
I mean, I'm sorry, for Facebook to actually absolve themselves of responsibility of this is just piffle. I mean, seriously, anyone else, you broadcast something online, you are responsible for it. Just saying, well, you know, we're just a social media platform.
We can't be held responsible.
What could we do? We only made how many billions, was it, last quarter?
Right.
You know, they couldn't actually afford to check the facts they're putting out there are correct. This is rubbish.
Well, and I think beyond that, I mean, their algorithm determines the order in which you see things, right? So I think you could almost have an argument that if they were to place everything in a timeline that
chronological.
Was... chronological. Exactly. You could almost say, I mean, I would still think that it was rubbish, as you say, Ian. I would agree with you that there's still, you know, it's BS. But you could make the argument that if it was a chronological timeline... and the algorithm isn't determining and you know highlighting or lowlighting what you see and where you see it, that would be part of it. But they control the algorithm. They are controlling what gets more attention and what doesn't. And if you're going to do that, I think that you also have a responsibility to make sure that the things you are highlighting and that you are emphasizing in the feed are accurate or inaccurate.
Going forward, really the bottom line of all of it is crime doesn't stop, it just gets smarter. So are they culpable? True story. But going forward, guess what? You're going to have shell companies, American companies, they're going to be sending people over and having them use their Visa for like 3 weeks, set up one of those $20 bank accounts I was talking about, and do their ads going about their business. So, I mean, I just don't know how you stop it, even when you're trying now to look at it deeper. Because again, now that these indictments went down, they're like, okay, they got on. All right, now we have to do it this way. And when they do it the other way, then it circumvents all the stuff that we just trapped them on and we're looking at, we're thinking about what we should be doing with them. So we'll see what happens with it going forward.
It's very interesting. We're going to take a break, have more with Owen J.J. Stone, O-Docta from IQMZ.com. Christina Warren, film girl. She works at Microsoft now in developers relations. Great to have you. Always great to see you, Christina Warren. And, of course, Ian Thompson from theregister.co.uk. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. You know, there is one antidote to all the crap online. Put some good stuff online. Tell people about your point of view, your thoughts, your business with WordPress.com. Couldn't be easier to make a website, whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both. WordPress.com helps others find you, remember you, and connect with you. I think really in some ways, I've felt this way for a long time. We all almost have a responsibility to share our unique point of view online to make the internet a better place. And you can do that so easily and so affordably at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. You don't need any experience. You don't need to hire someone. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process from start to finish. If you have questions, they have a great customer support team. WordPress experts who are eager to help you get the most from your site, and they're there because blogs happen all day, all night. They're there 24 hours a day, all week long, Monday through Friday. They're even there on weekends. So you can ask them questions. Beautiful templates to choose from. Built-in search engine optimization. Social sharing means people will tell the world about what you're saying. I've been a strong believer. It's fine to have a Facebook page and a Twitter account, but you need to have a place that's yours, that you call your own on the internet with your domain name. You get it all at WordPress.com. And if you get the business plan, man, you're going to go, that's what I have. Hundreds of plugins and themes. I have AMP turned on for fast loading on mobile. I have HTTPS, so it's secure. Come see why 29% of all websites run on WordPress. 29% globally of all the webs. WordPress, 29. Wow. Get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/twit. That's where my blog is, leolaporte.com. It's where yours should be too, WordPress.com/twit. Find the plan that's right for you and save 15% off that brand new website. WordPress.com/twit. We thank you for your support of This Week in Tech. Helicopter crashes, according to the FAA, after maneuvering to avoid a DJI Phantom. It's called a Robinson R-22 helicopter. It's a basic training light helicopter. Instructor and student flying. The instructor told police the student was practicing hover taxi maneuvering over rough ground on Daniel Island, which is near Charleston. And they saw a white DJI Phantom quadcopter headed towards him. Instructor took control of the helicopter to evade the drone, but the tail rotor struck a tree. He got the helo down onto the rear of its landing skids, but it turned over. I don't think anyone was seriously hurt.
No.
Please fly responsibly. Great.
Yeah, I mean, this is what scares me. I mean, I've actually been looking at getting one of the Mavic Airs, the newest DJI drone.
I loved my Mavic Pro until I flew it into the ocean.
Yeah, no,
you fly everything into the ocean. You shouldn't be allowed to fly anything ever again.
Well,
let Lisa fly, let the kids fly.
I agree.
You don't fly.
I'm not buying any more drones.
I'm not going to let you on a plane.
I almost bought this drone. This is the Skydio. It's an AI-powered drone. You don't even get to fly it.
I'm a skeptic.
You don't even get to fly it. It's an AI powered quadcopter. It shoots 4K video. You tell it, follow me, lead me, surround me, but don't hit anything. It has 13 onboard cameras, does real time mapping, path planning, obstacle avoidance. It's got an NVIDIA Jetson TX1 computer in it. The brain, in fact, many self driving car systems use something similar. Mm-hmm. And then it just and now this is a Verge review. They did a demo in John McLaren Park in the city, and it worked. Should I get this $2,500?
Yeah, you buy it when you fly it into the river. You owe me one because no matter what you do, that flies, it's gonna die. You can't be trusted.
I still sign that.
But maybe you should, Christina.
Maybe I'll try. I don't know. What's interesting, and I don't know if this was the case here, but you know, the DJI, the Mavic Pro has obstacle avoidance, but I believe it only works. It doesn't work when it's in sport mode. So I don't know if it wasn't in sport mode or if it.
Well, it also doesn't work if something's behind it. It only works forward.
It only works going forward.
And yes. I actually got the thing. I was on a boat. A catamaran in the heavy wind, and I thought this would be a great time to fly my drone.
No.
And I'm struggling to keep this thing, and then it hits the railing on the cat, goes right in the ocean. It was like,
yeah, that's not. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical about this. A, it's $2,500, which is a lot of money to spend on a toy.
Me.
But also, this is we've just heard that it
Kevin Durant is an investor.
Well, that doesn't
Warriors. That changes everything. Exactly.
But I mean, I'm sorry, we've got one gen, and I love some of what The Verge does, but they are a bit of a cheerleader rather than a sort of critical eye.
Yeah,
so
I
would like to see how this works in widespread review.
Yeah. So, Christina, are you still going to get the Mavic?
I'm thinking about it, but this is what worries me is you know. I need to see what the rules are in Washington, how much of an FAA thing I would get. I know there are definitely more places here that I could fly a drone with without potentially
You're not supposed to fly over people. You're not, right. You know, I mean, there are rules. I followed all the rules.
Well, and everyone breaks the rules, as is clear by this case. But this is what kind of scares me about these things is that I think we're only going to see more of them as they get less.
The DJI says, you know, if you're near an airport or anywhere, they say
you're not supposed to.
You can't fly it. Yeah.
Well, how did he
fly into a helicopter? Like, you didn't see the helicopter and think, oh, I need to back this thing up.
No, much more likely the guy was messing with him, right?
Yeah.
Wanted to get a close-up shot. But, I mean, flying helicopters is really tough. You know, you've got to control not only the rudder, not only the direction, but also the throttle control. So you've got your height. You're trying to manage three things at once. And then some bugger thinks it's a good idea to fly a drone in your face to get
this drone in this video, if you're watching, is flying completely autonomously. Nobody's flying it. It's following the runner.
Who's wearing a very bright shirt.
It actually uses the color. No, it says it uses the color to find her. And it's flying through trees and branches. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that either.
No, I couldn't either. It would be crash, without a doubt.
It's not easy to fly a drone. You got to practice in open territory for a lot and then don't get cocky.
Essentially, I was talking to some people from NASA and they're working on the air traffic control system for drones, which is going to be introduced later on. Hopefully, if they actually get the funding to finish the job, but they want to basically build like an ATC system for drones, which seems perfectly sensible.
You'd have to get cleared and all that.
Yeah, well, you just have to have a chip in there that says I am here, don't hit me, and that way you can warn anyone else, you know, if there's someone else around.
That's actually a good idea.
Because we're going to see these things that the numbers are only going to increase, so
absolutely,
let's just get in there and make sure it's safe first off, and for above all else, keep them away from airports. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
The Mavic can follow you too, by the way.
I know. It did a great job. I know. I was really impressed.
Christina, you could get one. I trust you. You survived a bus. You could fly a drone.
Okay, fair enough. I did survive the bus.
Yes. Yeah, I have complete faith in you. Uncle Leo, I just heard every time he says drone, the following sentence is, it crashed in the doghouse. It crashed in the ocean. It crashed in the shower. I'm like, dude, what are you doing with the drone? I was just flying it through the house, you know? Like, no drones.
I did crash it in the studio,
much money on drones. Yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, no, I'm done. I almost bought the new that new DJI Mavic. What do they call it?
I want the Air. I want it really bad, but I can't justify it. I can't justify because I have
$800. I think I'm going to get one, but because it's only $800, and I'm like, well,
you've never had a drone before, Christina?
I haven't. I've used them before, but I've never had my own.
You should totally get it.
Yeah,
Christina, the Air. The one thing about the Air is that it uses Wi-Fi. It doesn't use a radio signal like the Pro
does.
Oh, that's
not
good. The Pro is better.
Get the Pro, Christina. A little bit more.
Get the Pro.
Yeah, you'll be happier.
Okay.
And it does also, it lands itself, unless you're on a catamaran in a high wind.
And it alerts you that it's high wind as soon as you go up. I mean, not that you couldn't see the clouds moving, not that you couldn't see the wind on your face.
It told me.
And you've got hair. Yeah. You know when your hair's
flapping. No, it told
it's
me.
It's a problem. What are you doing?
It actually said, Leo, this is a terrible idea.
I know it did. It told you specifically, don't turn me on. And what did you do?
No.
Click the button anyway.
I don't know what I was thinking.
You just got to, it's the basic rule of sailing. If you think you've got to reduce your sail area, you know, reef the main, reef the sheets.
Reef the main?
Yeah. Do you reduce
the main?
If you're having to think that the wind might be too strong, just reduce the sail area.
That was the problem.
Now.
I was saying, what button do I use to reef the main? I can barely. I loved that drone too. It was really. You will love it. Get the Mavic Pro.
Were you with Lisa?
Get the Mavic Pro. Okay. Yeah,
no, I wasn't with Lisa. That's why I got in trouble.
That's why I went to Ocean. That was
when I first got it, she told you
to put it down.
And by the way, the other thing you're going to like about this is it folds up, which is nice. You could pack it in your. Actually, you can do that with the new one too, right? They fold.
Yeah, the new one's even smaller.
Yeah.
That's why I was interested in the new one. I was like, tiny.
Yeah.
The remote, the battery, and the distance are hugely. The difference in why you want the Pro over Air.
The Pro's so cool. And the great images. Oh, I was so happy with it.
Well, I mean, this new one, you get 16 minutes battery life?
Yeah,
that's not a lot of time.
Which is 12
minutes.
With a
huge for a drone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything they say,
terrible.
Take off 7 minutes. When they tell you 30 minutes, you get
but you don't have
four.
It literally doesn't come with a remote control. Mm. You don't have to steer it. It just does it. You throw it in the air and it just follows you around.
I would like to see a large number of reviews of this, but I am highly skeptical.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. The Mavic Air is even better if you can spend more money. That's true, Compter. You're absolutely right. It's 4K.
4K? Some of us have got mortgages, for Christ's sake.
Oh, you know, though, it's so cool to see this stabilized footage above your house or, of you know, you see stuff from an angle you've never seen, and it's beautiful. Mm. And then it's so fun. I miss my drone. And, you know, I should have dived in because I paid for the refresh thing that DJI does. Even if it gets wet, I could have gotten a new one. But
you should have dived in.
I should have. I didn't.
I was going to say, did it actually drive itself under the waves and sank? Or?
Well, it sank right away. I don't think it needed to drive itself anywhere.
You could have got somebody throwing some scuba gear and go pick it up for you.
My son wanted to. I said, no, it's all right.
No, because then you could have recovered the footage potentially, and that would have been cool.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
It needs a small airbag on it if you're going to be using it on the water. It hits the water, poof. Oh, right. So okay,
that's what we need. That's the next innovation, is waterproof drones, so that when you crash it in the water.
Or you could have tied a fishing line to the foot and just let it ride and then reeled it in. But I'm just saying, that's neither here nor there, because it doesn't matter. Leo's never buying another drone.
No, that's it. I came really close to buying that artificial intelligence one, and then I thought, Doctor would get mad at me.
I'm surprised.
I'd be getting $2,500 mad at you. I know you write it off.
You know what I did buy?
But you can't do it.
I bought a HomePod. That was equally stupid.
Yeah, I did too. I'm returning mine.
Are you returning yours?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because it's garbage.
It sounds great. It sounds fantastic for my use cases. And I am an Apple Music subscriber, but I also subscribe to Spotify and other things. For my use cases, I can't justify $350 for a speaker that only works with Apple Music, that I have to use AirPlay for everything else, which is a pain, that doesn't have multi-room until some date to be determined. I bought the Sonos One set. I've had Sonos stuff for years, and I bought the two-pack of the Sonos.
I would say a dual stereo Sonos One is going to be better than a single HomePod.
And that was actually why I bought the HomePod. I was really annoyed with the reviews I was reading, and people weren't comparing them head-to-head the way I wanted them to. So I'm going to do my own review the way I wanted.
You miss working for Mashable, don't you?
I do. I miss being able to do that stuff. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to do this myself. And no, I think that for most people, getting two Sonos Ones, which together are $350, is better than the HomePod. Now, look, in the future, if SiriKit supports other services, if you can do other things with it, great. But that's not now. And even though I think the sound is excellent, for me, I can't justify $350 for a speaker that literally plays Apple Music and that's it. That's like, I just can't justify it.
It's a very Apple thing to do, to make a speaker that only plays Apple Music.
Yeah.
And the thing is that in some eras, like, that would have been fine. You know, that would have been okay. But I feel like people, to me, they kept kind of arguing with me, comparing it to, when the iPhone came out, people said this. When the iPod came out, people said
Apple
this.
Apple people are amazing, aren't they?
Well, they are. And I consider myself, you know, I'm more deeply embedded in the Apple ecosystem than any other ecosystem. And I'm rejecting it. And I'm saying, no, when the iPod came out, it worked with MP3s. And, you know, it really took off when you could connect it to Windows. And the iPhone had a web browser, even though it didn't have apps at first. Right. And those things made it really useful no matter what you were doing. In this case, you know, even if you like Apple Music, and I do, you probably have other types of things you want to listen to. Yes. And this is so limited right now that it doesn't work for me. And the difference is that in some cases, if they had come out with this a couple of years ago and you didn't have ecosystems that were good and you didn't have a high quality audio speaker like the Sonos One that was about the same, it was less expensive, or a two pack is the same price, you could maybe say, okay, well, fine, you know, this gives me a slightly better experience. But the reality is that these other systems are more advanced, their assistants are better, they do more things, and they work with more music services. So the only reason you buy this is because you either really love everything Apple, or, you know, you've been convinced that the audio quality is so much better that that's worth it for you. And I would say that for most audiophiles, this isn't going to be the sort of thing that would make, you know, an audiophile is going to want a line in jack. They're going to want to be able to play.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So even when they go to you about the audio's better, I can't hard line in. There's a huge difference.
And you can't even Bluetooth to the thing.
No,
I need Google. I'm convinced that Google is just winning the game as far as, you know.
You think they're going to ultimately
and
win?
The sound, they won my heart, and I'm a jerk.
It's interesting because both Consumer Reports and David Pogue, and when we did it here with Jason Howell with the Blind Taste a blind sound test. In all three cases, the Google Home Max won, and which I disagree with. I don't think it's better. But for some reason, people think it's Consumer Reports, David Pogue, Jason Howell all thought it sounded as good as, if not better. So, and it's got the assistant, it's got a line in, it's got, you know, you can use
the line in makes a huge difference. I don't know how you don't tell the difference, but it makes a huge difference.
I did solve the problem, though, with the getting the white, you know, if you put, because it's got a silicone base, if you put it, have you tried that? Did you put it on wood?
I did, but my wood isn't that expensive, so it
cheap
matter.
Wood, it's okay. I solved it because I put it on top of a Sonos.
Wood joke.
And the Sonos, it doesn't mar the Sonos.
Oh, no, the Sonos does.
No, the Sonos mars the wood, but the HomePod on a Sonos doesn't mar the Sonos.
It's just... I'm feeling terribly old-fashioned about this because, you know, I've got a stereo which I turn on and
it's,
put
by
music
the way,
in. And, you know.
I put my HomePod in the middle of my stereo, you know, left-right speakers. Actually, I have a surround sound and a sub.
Yeah.
And I switched back and forth and I asked my wife, I said, sit down. It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's not, it's the God speaker, but it's not even close.
I'm sorry. I want a subwoofer behind my sofa.
You want a sub? You want left-right.
Exactly.
Well, but people don't listen to music that way anymore. It's music as wallpaper, and this makes me a little bit sad.
No,
but music has become a soundtrack for your life as opposed to something. I'm an old guy. I used to put on the Koss
A440. I just go pick out a CD from the rack. I'll listen
CD,
to that.
I'd have the album liner, the record vinyl, and I'd be lying on my back, listening on the headphones. That's my generation. We would listen to music. But now I think the current, now may I'm sound like an old man, but I think currently.
You're an old man and you live in a bubble. Every time I say this on the show, people tell me that it's not real, but I got a 3000 watt sound system in my car. People say it's not real. So I got to put it up on Instagram so you can see it. I got 3000 watts bumping. I can tell the difference between hardline.
It sounds better, right?
And CD. It doesn't sound better, Uncle Leo. It feels better. People see my car. They're like, why do you do that? I say, sit in the front seat. They sit in the seat. They say they get a massage.
So you listen because you're listening to music as opposed to having music just play all around you as an ambient thing.
I'm feeling the music, Uncle Leo. I can feel it in my soul.
How many watts?
Feel it in my fingers. 3,000?
Wow.
That's head shaking.
Do you have a sub in your trunk? Are you one of those guys?
I got 2 12-inch subs in my trunk.
Oh, my God.
I got updated Infinity speakers in my doors. Like, 1,500 watts go to the inside of the car. 1,500 watts
goes. What kind of car is this?
Max out. It's a Hyundai Sonata Turbo. Okay. So it's nice.
You drive down the street.
I drop the back seat,
and you can hear the thumping as you go down the street.
This is how good it is. You can hear me on a summer day, 6 blocks away. That's how loud it is. 6 blocks. Oh, coolest story.
You're a stereotype.
I'm
doctor.
No pun intended. I like my music. Listen, I'm driving down the street in Philadelphia, and there's a school. I guess we're on a field trip, and it's like a girls' school because it's all these girls. They had to be like 10 years old. I put on One Direction, cranked the radio up, and all these kids just start dancing, singing
cute.
In the streets.
That's cute.
And the parents are just looking at me like you're crazy. Because I listen to everything but country. So sometimes I'm listening to like Cake or Blink-182, and people just look at me like,
because
I'm bumping crazy stuff. Taylor Swift, remember my story?
What?
He's bumping Cake down the
Taylor
street.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift down the street.
Yeah, the cop pulled me over. I said, it's Taylor Swift, bro. What's the problem?
He's like, fair. He's like, all right, Blank Space is a good song. I feel you. Fine.
Could you play some gin and juice for me? Can you just do me a favor? Just play something good.
I'm about to drive out there to California so you can feel the rhythm, Uncle Leo.
No, I agree. I think there's certainly something said about feeling it. No 4-inch subwoofer is going to make you feel anything. It sounds good for a speaker this size. I mean,
it sounds great. And I think for most, you know, single room system, I'm not opposed to the sound.
If you lived in a small apartment or you would put it in the kitchen and then as you're cooking, you'd have the, you know, the music playing. That's fine.
I just feel like right now with it's very limited and the lack of a line in and people say, well, the Sonos doesn't have a line in either. And that's true. The ones anyway don't. You have to get a 5 or you have to get a Kinect.
Yeah, I have Play 5s all over the house. We have it all over the studio. We have Play 5s.
Yeah. And you can also, fun fact, you can get like a Raspberry Pi and use an app called Air Sonos to basically build your own Play Kinect.
I've got to do
for
that
about,
sometime.
About $50. Yeah. I did it. It's great.
Did you?
And I did. It was super easy. It was like the
and
easiest
thing. And do you talk to it or?
Well, at that point, you just use the Sonos app.
You just,
because
okay.
because it doesn't have Alexa built into it. Right. So the Alexa and soon Google Assistant are only built into the one. I mean, I guess you could put an Echo into it, but that would you know, mess up the line in, and I want to connect it to the turntable is the main
now,
thing that
Apple is not making as much money on the HomePod as they are most of their other products. For instance,
right.
Well, these are always guests' insights.
Well, okay, 38% profit margin is pretty
not
good.
Not bad.
For audio equipment, that's pretty low because most audio equipment is usually sold. So the profit margin is usually even higher. But most places, like if you go to a place,
The markup's 100% in an audio store.
Yeah, 50 to 60% markup, exactly. Yeah. So you've got to think that the margin's even higher.
So they say Tech Insights says it costs $216 to build a HomePod. You know, take it with a grain of salt. They also say, though, that Google, for instance, gets a 66% margin on its home, and Amazon gets a 56% margin on their Echo. So they're making a lot more money on those.
If they made a dollar on the speaker, is good for advertisement because now they own Beats. Beats cost $5. They sell them for $399.
Exactly. They're making plenty of money.
They're making their money.
And
they
it's
don't
selling
really
their services, which is their long-term goal. Exactly. Is they want to get Apple Music. Play. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the Beats
they're
thing.
They're making it.
My understanding is when they did teardowns on the Beats headphones, the most expensive part of them was the packaging. And I saw this. Did you see the iFixit teardown on the HomePod?
They gave it a 1 out of 10 for repairability.
It is not repairable.
They actually took a hacksaw.
They had to hacksaw the end off it to get on the inside.
It's basically a disposable product.
Yeah. I mean, but in fairness, I don't know any of these home speakers that are really going to be designed, you know, to be repairable in that sense. And I think that's just par for the course. If you buy a network speaker, for the most part, you're going to have to take it to a specialty repair place, and they probably are going to just, you know, give you a warranty swap out. I don't really know.
Actually, Apple's repair cost for the HomePod is, I think, 80% of the sale price. I mean, that's clearly what they're doing. They're swapping it out.
Exactly. I mean, that's why they're saying go ahead and buy the Apple Care, you know, Plus or whatever. Right. And it'll also cover your Airport, you know, Express or Extreme or whatever.
Or buy Google Max.
Yeah,
is that what you have, Owen?
Yeah, I'm Googled out in the house right now.
How about you, Christina?
I haven't tried the Google Max. My problem with the Google Assistant is that I have so many Google accounts. I use like a different one for my, you know, main Google login that is not associated with my email or my calendar or anything else that I haven't, at least last time I tried the Google Home, it wasn't able to really work with my workflow. I might try it again, but I'm pretty much all in on the Sonos, but I did like the sound of the HomePod. It's just for the money and for what it does right now.
Yeah.
There's no way I can justify it. Now, again, like if in 6 months they are able to open it up and you can use it with more things, then that changes the you know, conversation a little bit. But I still feel like for the price that it is and its limitations, I personally can't justify it, especially without the line in it. And I know the Sonos doesn't have it either, but it does have the ability to at least link with systems that do. And my issue with the sound quality, people are like, oh, the sound quality is so great. And I'm like, okay, but you're playing for the vast majority of stuff. You're playing, you know, lossy encoded music from an internet connection. So why does this, this fantastic sound quality, why does it matter if you're literally pumping?
Actually, AirPlay is not, it's 44.1.
It is. No,
it's pretty high quality.
It's still 256 kilobit.
Right.
AAC
it's still
lossy.
You're still playing it out of a piddly little speaker.
Right. I mean, you can technically do FLAC or ALEC through AirPlay. Yeah. Right. You can technically do FLAC or ALEC through AirPlay, but that takes a lot more effort. And so, most people aren't going to be playing that stuff. So again, even though yes, it's CD quality, what's the whole point of having this high-end audio system is to play, you know, something that's maybe better than that. And instead you've got a lossy encoded file running through it.
Are we unusual? Do kids today listen to stereo? Do they like, I mean, is that really, and you're the real person here.
Yeah, I don't know. You have the daughter. I don't know.
Kids listen to their headphones more than anything else. Right now, you'll see.
They live in those. I see. I mean, anybody under 20, they don't ever take them off.
No. Yeah. And again, the people having big stereo speakers in their home are dying off for sound bars and your wall mounted TV. Yeah. And nobody wants to buy an amplifier anymore because, you know, you got to throw that work. So times are changing. Things are changing. But I just think that this Apple thing is a waste of time. Let me tell you a secret thing. Uncle Leo is going to make you really sad about my Google Home. So I finally broke down. I Google Homed out the house because I went through the battle between Alexa.
You went all in on the Google.
And so I went all good. But you know what I did? I got them all set up to Wemos, so they only turn on when I click on the Wemo because I don't want nobody listening.
You don't want anybody listening. You don't want them hearing those pearls of wisdom.
I got to go through an extra step to automate my house, to turn the lights on and off. But guess what? In case I, like, kill a frog or something, nobody's going
to
know about it.
I do really like the ability to speak to my lights and say, turn off lights or turn on lights.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
I have to say, I thought that was dopey, but I really like it.
And Christina, you might want to try the Google again because I have four different accounts set up and it can recognize up to five and it's been doing pretty good. Every once in a while it gets wonky and I have to reset it, but for the most part,
how do you distinguish between accounts though?
So you
talk like this
your...
for one account and then the other account
talk like this
and then it knows
when you set them. Well, the problem is when you set them up, you can either, I have it set up to where my office is set up to my work one, my bedroom.
Oh,
is set
and
up
your
to my
camera just
one.
Pulled focus on you. Your camera is much more interested in the girls behind you than it was.
Is that what just happened?
Yeah, it started. It said, "Who's this guy? I want to see that woman in the Superman shirt." Yeah,
right. And Thundercats on the other side.
Oh, Thundercats.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I give it a try.
Give it a try. I will.
I have a ridiculous setup. I have a Google Home Max with an Amazon Echo Show on top of it. With the HomePod on top of that,
you've got 3,000 watts in your office at home.
I feel like the Luddite because I have none of these in my home.
I don't want all that things. You're right. I don't. I just have to try them. This is my job.
No. That's true.
You could do what I just did. Like I said, you turn them on and off.
Listening to me, Owen. I think you're nuts. So, I think take that tinfoil hat off.
They are listening to you, Uncle Liv. And if you think they're not. If you think they're not, you're crazy.
We know they're not. You can watch the traffic. Why would they listen?
I want to get dog food for my dog that's cat food. I have 40 ads about dog food, and I haven't even opened up my phone. Somebody's listening, Uncle Leo. Don't tell me people aren't listening. They listen.
Nobody. Ain't nobody got time to listen to Owen and his Google Home.
Did you not read Quinn's article this week about her connected home?
No.
No, she
who's she writing for? She worked for the New York Times for a minute.
I think she did this for Gizmodo, I think.
But oh, good. It was, I'm glad. I feel so bad for her.
She set up everything.
Yeah, same.
You guys
then
know
ran
her?
It through a firewall. And
please give her my apologies for the stupidity.
No, hang on. Was
New
it
York
Quinn?
Times editorial board.
Oh, no, hang on. No, this wasn't Quinn Norton. This was...
Oh, there's a different Quinn?
This was Gizmodo.
Cashmere Hill?
Cashmere Hill, that's it. Sorry. And she, you know, set all this stuff up, ran it through a firewall. It's really quite disturbing how much stuff is being collected, even if you're not in the house, you know, and the amount of unencrypted stuff being sent as well. So it just, I don't know. I refuse to have them in the house. I don't see the
Go ahead, Uncle Leo. Keep trusting. Like I said, I got mine on Wemos. I turn them on when I need them. Turn them off when I don't.
I want to read this. I want to read this so-called article. The house that spied on me.
That's the one.
Okay. One bedroom, smart home. One. I know that sounds creepy. So she's running Wireshark on this or
she's
what?
She's running pretty much every home automation device you can get, plus running it through a custom gateway so you can see what's going on.
So it's sending packets all the time, but that doesn't mean it's sending all the things she's saying.
Just look at that amount of data coming out of your home.
Yeah, well, she's using it. Are you saying, is this time she never said a word to the Google Home?
No, I mean, there are times when she didn't. There was no one even in the house and it was sending back
large amounts
of data.
Well, send a few packets. But look, I mean...
Scroll down a bit further. You'll see what I mean. It's...
All right. Well, I have to read this more closely because there's a lot of... She's got a camera. Of course it's sending data. The camera's recording.
No, camera you'd expect to.
Of course that's sending data.
In particular, it's the thing that worried me most was the TV. You know, that's really highly personal information, and it's also picking up.
Actually, we do know that smart TVs
exactly. Yeah. You look at the
we
the,
do know that they
stuff.
Are
Vizio,
sending
Samsung,
data
yep.
back about what you watch. That's fine. I don't care. Who cares? What do I care?
I don't think it's so much.
Don't that, you that think people, they know what I'm watching anyway? I mean,
well, I don't have a TV. But, you know,
but, I mean, they should in theory, but I don't know. I'm not so concerned with like some of the privacy things. Oh, they're going to look at this, but it's kind of an aggregate. It's kind of, I don't know, problematic to think that on the one hand, it would be nice to for your automated home to maybe adjust things when it knows you're home and not home and do things accordingly. But on the other hand, there is kind of a, at a macro level, a big brother kind of concern that I would have, which is to say, am I comfortable with all this information being handled by third parties and how competently are they going to protect that information? That to me is the bigger thing. And that's why as much as I am freaked out by Google in a certain sense, I sometimes am more comfortable with them just because at least they're competent. I don't know, but and sometimes like I'm more concerned with companies that are capturing all my information and I don't have any confidence in their competency and how they handle it or how they're going to resell it or how they're going to protect that information from others. And that's when I look at TV manufacturers, especially, and I'm like, I don't have any trust that they're not going to be selling this with highly personalized and attached information.
This article's a little bit of FUD because she has a internet connected toothbrush, an internet connected coffee machine. I mean, she basically set up
complete over the top,
she's constantly online. And nevertheless,
she didn't get the internet enabled hairbrush though. You did a report on that for CES, which was just...
You can obviously overdo that. I don't care what Google knows about. I don't know.
Uncle Leo, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
I'm hungry. Can you talk about food?
All right. I'll talk about food. Go get a snack. Actually, if you had a Blue Apron, in the time it takes me to tell you this story, you could probably get a pretty good start on your next meal.
High quality meal.
Yes, it's high quality. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They have a mission I admire to make incredible home cooking. Yeah, you can do it. No, I know. You're looking at me saying, no, I can't. I could burn water, Leo. No, they're going to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. That means you. While supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standard for ingredients, literally building a community of home chefs. They are. They're going to do that. But you have to help by going to blueapron.com/twit. You'll get $30 off your first order. With Blue Apron, you go to the Blue Apron site. You look at what's on the menu. They offer 12 new recipes every week. You can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what fits your schedule. And, of course, you can take any week off. You're never obligated. They send only non-GMO ingredients, meat with no added hormones. They have an amazing ingredients and amazing meals, like strip steak and potatoes with spicy maple collard greens. If you can make spicy maple collard greens even once, you will never stop. Spicy chicken and stir-fried vegetables with jasmine rice. Nobody doesn't love jasmine rice, right? What's nice is you get ingredients that you may never have had before. And you can, like, soy-glazed Korean rice cakes with broccoli and soft-boiled eggs. By the way, that's vegetarian. They have vegetarian meals, too. Creamy fusilli bucati pasta. Once you've had bucati pasta, you will never have any other kind. It's incredible. With fried rosemary and walnuts. Look at that. Harissa-glazed chicken drumsticks. So you're going to experience new ingredients.
Damn, I had lunch 5 hours ago. Now I'm hungry again.
Of course you are. Ginger pork meatballs. Look at those. They look so good. Cabbage and jasmine. Looks so good.
Okay,
so
food break.
they come in the pack with everything you need, not more, not less. Exactly what you need. There's a two-person plan and a family plan. Family plan, by the way, has kid-friendly ingredients. The chef-designed recipes, everything in there, like the little fairy eggplants, they're all perfect. Perfect. I don't know how they get the everything's perfect. The Brussels perfect. And by the way, I Lisa would not eat Brussels sprouts till I made them for her with one of these Blue Apron. And now she says, "This is good. Where have you been all my life?" BlueApron.com/twit. $30 off your first order and free shipping. BlueApron.com/twit. Cooking a meal for your family is really a way of sharing love. There's nothing better than having them sit down to this meal. You took 45 minutes to make it. Of course, they're going to eat it in about a minute because it's so good. Mm. And then they're all going to run off and play their video games. But for a minute, you had love in your life.
Yeah.
BlueApron.com/twit.
I know Brussels sprouts get a very bad rap. Because,
they're good if you do it right.
Yeah, I mean, those of us who grew up with them, particularly in the UK, they were boiled into little green balls of death.
No, you wouldn't want that.
No, but roast them with chestnuts or bacon.
Exactly. Exactly.
Food of the gods.
Lisa likes, I make a little lemon cream sauce on it that gives it, it's just delicious.
Okay. Right. Dinner.
You're the custard. You come from the land of custard. Don't tell me you don't like lemon cream.
Oh, no, no. Lemon cream sounds good. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But, you know, it's the land of custard. That's something Britain's going to have to live down for quite some time.
It's true. Did you get fed, Owen?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I was trying to say was the best thing about it, too, is you can get that 45 minutes with the kids because the way the meals are prepped and set up, you can have the kids help you.
Yes.
Because you have everything measured out and things like that. So you can cook
it's really
with
great
your family.
That. Do you do that with your daughter?
It's simpler.
Do you ever cook with your daughter?
Yes, I do.
It's such a great thing to do.
I like to cook on my own, but I have ordered a Blue Apron before, and it was just nice that I could just let her do a lot of things on her own.
Yeah.
And you know you're not going to mess it up because you have what you need there. And you're just putting it in, you're reading the instructions so she could follow along instead of me being like, you didn't stir that fast enough. You didn't do that. So it's something else besides my tutelage on telling her how to cook.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good for that too.
Oh, but you're giving her something. So, I mean, I know it's nice to be able to know what to do when there's an active shooter, but being able to cook actually is something you do every day. Or you should be.
you got to eat. I'll tell you what. Eat. So I haven't taught her like my three best dishes because I don't want her teaching
anybody
else.
What are your
three
best dishes?
I make great fettuccine chicken Alfredo.
Oh, yum.
I make amazing baked macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And I make Italian meatballs that I learned from a 96-year-old Italian grandmother.
I will make you a deal. If you will make the meatballs, I will make the bolognese. And I will make the pasta. But you have to come to my place. I will make fresh pasta and bolognese, but you got to make the meatball because I need a good meatball recipe. I need to see how Owen J.J. Stone does it.
Oh, they're delicious.
IQMZ. Do you ever do cooking on your podcast network?
No, I used to a long time ago, and then I got drunk, and I didn't do it again.
You mean during the show, you got drunk?
Yeah. I did a thing where I was like, I was teaching people how to cook, and I also make this drink. I call it the Dirty Doctor, and it's got like 8 shots of alcohol in it. So I told people how to make that. I was drinking it, and it was just a whole problem. And my friend has a really nice professional kitchen, and I wasn't allowed back over there. So that had to that whole situation.
Dirty Doctor never coming back to my.
You need to talk to a British TV chef called Keith Floyd.
Now with the camera.
Keith Floyd. He was renowned for. He would never cook without alcohol. So okay, so we throw the onions in.
Graham Kerr was like that, the galloping gourmet.
And another one for the cameraman. Another slurp.
That's not.
It happens quick.
It's not a good way to cook. Actually, we kind of before the show, we're talking a little bit about the end of Facebook. And for instance, Facebook lost about 2.8 million users in the U.S. under 25 last year. That's, 2.8 million out of 1.5 billion. But those are the key users.
That's the future.
That's the future. Those under 25.
The canaries in the coal mine.
And it's going to be
very. They just moved to Instagram.
I was going to say, did they leave Instagram or did they just leave Facebook? And did they leave Messenger? You see what I'm saying?
Is Facebook happy, though, if you don't use the big blue product and you use Instagram and
they own it, so you're not gone.
I don't think they care.
They just moved.
I feel like they can do more with Facebook than they can with Instagram.
That's probably true, but I feel like if they had to, they would much rather at least still retain them on one platform than lose them wholesale.
Messenger is a hot mess. It's gotten worse and worse and worse.
The whole app thing is a hot mess. If you install the Facebook app and the Messenger app on your phone, that's 3/4 of a gig of storage taken up. That's just ridiculous.
Messenger, I was going to use it on Android for my text messaging because it supports SMS on Android.
Why did I get so confused?
Yeah, really. Well, I did. I'm not. I set it up, and I did it, unfortunately, on Valentine's Day, and I sent a very romantic, lovely message to my wife and everybody I know, because somehow it got in my story.
Oh, God.
It was very embarrassing.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I messed up on Facebook. I apologize to you.
I'm not completely novice in this stuff. I felt like it was way too easy to accidentally add it to my day. And to everybody who knows me on Facebook, which is thousands of people, saw it.
This is why I use Signal. I mean, it's got its faults, but you don't have the risk of that happening.
Signal is true. And there's no advertising.
Yeah.
It's secure.
I trust the security. Yep. Moxie is a damn good coder.
Moxie Marlin Spike knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Widely trusted by the community. Plus, unlike other systems that are using OpenSignal, it's on by default. Encryption is always on if you're talking to somebody
always
else
on.
Using
it's
Signal.
Always on, always end-to-end, and their servers record very little. So,
I want to use it, but I'm kind of hooked on, believe it or not, I have to use Hangouts. I'm a Google Fi customer. I have many phones. I want my messages to go to all the phones, and I want desktop access.
See, yeah, that's why I'm an iMessage person.
If iMessage were cross-platform, I would.
I agree with you, 1,000%.
It doesn't solve my problem.
No, totally. I mean, like, if I use an Android device, then that would be a problem. And I will say, when I use a Windows computer or a Linux machine, it is a problem because, you know, my phone will show me the messages, but I can't communicate from my desktop.
It needs to be on my desktop. And I don't know. I don't understand Google's. Well, Google's messaging strategy is insane.
Oh,
it is. It's like, how many of there are like six different services. Yeah. They all work differently. They launch a new one every single, IO, it seems. It's crazy.
It makes the Borgias look like a, coherent family unit.
So do you think young people are turning against Facebook, but they're going to continue with Instagram and Messenger?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do continue with Instagram. They're not.
They love Instagram.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the mind of a 12 to 15-year-old. Actually, if you look at my Instagram right now, you see all kinds of PC stuff because I have, like, all my friends have me following their kids because none of them know anything about the internet. So, like, tell me my kid's messing up or they pulled a boob out. Let me know what's going on. So I have all these kids I'm following.
Oh, so you have to follow your friends' kids? That's so horrible.
Yes. Yeah, it is horrible because I can't post the grimy stuff I want to post. I got to see dad.
That's
I can't make a joke because there's, like, a 12-year-old girl on there that might understand what that joke means, and I can't do it. But
that's why you need your own Finsta, Owen.
What's Finsta?
It's your fake Instagram that your parents don't know about, where you post all the real stuff.
I need it's your Finsta.
I have 23 Instagram accounts. But anyway,
what? Which one should I follow?
We've talked about this before. I make money off of Instagram. Instagram is great. Anyway, back to the point. The kids are using
Here's
the live
a small
more often cele- like they
small
do.
Celebration in Philadelphia the other night.
Yeah, that was a Super Bowl night. That was the night they won the Super Bowl.
Your Instagram foo is quite good.
My money making Instagram is really good because that's just all memes and promoting stuff because people want to pay you money when you have enough followers. It's a great way for
Do you want to share that and increase your followers?
No, because if somebody ever knew it was me, then I'd have a problem with some of the things that I share and stuff I shouldn't be doing. So the autonomous part about that is even better. Anywhoosie, back to the point. These kids.
So later, Owen.
Snapchat later. Offline.
Offline. I want to know the story because I think that's something I could do.
I'm making a good chunk of change. The kids are using Snapchat filters, and then they post them on Instagram Live. Like, they have a system that they do. They don't even hardly Snapchat. But they're now bringing it out at Instagram Live. It's so prevalent. They move it over there. So they use Snapchat for their filters, save everything over, and then post all that stuff on Instagram. And they're balling out of control on Instagram right now. Kids love Instagram.
Especially now that Snapchat redesigned stuff and made all the kids mad.
Let's talk about that. What a whiny bunch of losers. So is Snapchat that much worse? It doesn't seem worse at all to me.
Well, you got to think, like, how much have we over the years complained anytime any service changes stuff? It's just the new generation.
But that's normal.
But I think.
Really, Snapchat is. So walk me through that. Is it only on Android that it's changed, or is it changed on iOS?
No, it changed on iOS too. Okay. I mean, and the difference is.
So you go to the left and you've got all your friends. You go to the right, you got your news stories, your Discover. You swipe up, you've got your memories. It seems like.
They changed where stuff was put. So because if you're following celebrities, now you've got to deal with all of the Discover stuff. And so, I mean, kids are mad, and Snapchat obviously doesn't care, but. It's still interesting that.
Where are the stories now, though?
The stories are in that Discover section.
Oh, I see. So that's why they don't like it.
Right, because they don't want to be hounded by.
So I have to see all these Kim Kardashian bikini shots or whatever to find my DJ Khaled content.
Right.
Got it.
You don't have the Mustang anymore, right?
No.
So imagine you had the Mustang. It's automatic. And you just walk outside one day and you get it and it's a stick. Are you going to be annoyed?
Yes.
Okay, then. That's don't it. Talk about kids and their Snapchat,
exactly.
right? because things change and
people
don't like
it. But it's not like they put the accelerator pedal on the left.
You don't know nothing about Snapchat. You don't know how it feels. You don't know the difference between acceleration and stick. So, Uncle Leo, these kids are hurting.
Oh, they're hurting. So you think it's going to...
This is a feature of... I mean, we saw... Do you remember in the early days of Facebook when we saw
they would change it slightly
and everyone would kick up an
enormous
fuss?
Everybody would freak out. And well, the difference is, I think, is that, that Facebook had by that point already achieved such a mass of use of, you know, such mind share that even though people would always say, oh, I'm going to delete my account. Like, I remember one time, this was years and years ago, I wrote a story for Mashable that says something like, no, you're not going to delete your Facebook account. And because there was this delete Facebook day and all these people told me how wrong I was. And then, you know, the next, you know, news report time, it was like Facebook had added even more users than ever before. And I was
how many times have I deleted Facebook? I mean,
You know, but people aren't going to do it. I think the difference here is that, you know, Snap, the reason they did this big redesign is because they're trying to improve engagement, because engagement hasn't continued to rise the way they want it to. And they're also trying to increase advertising and they're trying to get, you know, a different demographic interested. And the problem is that they have a competitor, which Facebook never had, that is copying them, you know, part and parcel and isn't messing things up. So there is a real risk, I think, that
you think
you
Instagram's going to do with Snapchat what Facebook did to MySpace?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's already happening. Yeah, I just told you. People go to Snapchat to post on Instagram. Like,
absolutely,
you're literally going there to get what you need to post it where you want. Pro tip on Snapchat for all the Snapchats. I know there's not that many of y'all, but when somebody sends you a private message and you don't want them to know, you just slide your finger to the sidewall, peek almost 80% through, snap that bit back. They don't even know you opened it. Yeah, I mean, just so you know, if you're out there sneaking and you don't want people to know.
What percentage triggers the I saw you look at that?
And you got like a 75-80% line.
You go almost the whole way, huh?
Yeah.
Or put it in airplane mode right before you swipe it over, because then it's loaded in the cache and then they don't know.
True. Yep. That's work, though. I got to click.
So right now, Snapchat, what would you – so the thing you would use Snapchat for is the face mask
filters,
stuff?
The filters. Yeah, all that stuff's better. The location stuff, that's
they
all
better. They don't care because they're still getting the Oil of Olay ad in there and all that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, from a user perspective, it's a lot better if you don't like. I mean, because if you look at your standard Facebook page now, if you go into your profile and actually analyze how much of that is advertising, stories, whatever else bullshit they want to put in there, and actually look what is coming from people you care about and who you are in contact with, it's a tiny proportion.
Yeah, you know, that's why people use Instagram.
Yeah,
can you see my screen?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is an example of a kid, one of my friend's kids, and every single post
selfies.
Of hers is
every
Snapchat.
Filter is from
They're
Snapchat.
All Snapchat posts
that she's posting on Instagram.
Yep.
So, and okay, how do I do that? I just recorded a video. Do I press the send button? Oh, shoot, I just sent that to everybody.
See, you just
save it to your camera roll, and then you pull it from your camera roll and post it to Instagram.
I am going to create a Snapchat account for the oldster. Oh, crap. I sent it out. How do you do this? What are you doing now?
But I will say,
you could just be the bubbler. Hey, I live in San Francisco, and I think this is how the internet's supposed to work.
Yeah, the bubbler.
We talk to each other and tell each other this is what we're doing, but the real world's out here doing stuff. I had so many people yelling at me last show about the Amazon Fire Stick, the fact that you didn't know what was going on in these streets.
Oh, people thought I was an idiot.
You're
like, how can you
Uncle
call
Leo.
Yourself the tech guy if you don't know how people are pirating using Kodi and
like,
Fire
Kodi,
Sticks?
Absolutely. It's so good.
You're
so
not
good.
A
Why
criminal.
Pay for cable? I mean, I do pay for cable. I do pay for cable. I pay for cable,
so I didn't know that.
I pay for everything, but I also know how that stuff works because sometimes there are other things you want to watch and you can't find them other ways.
I'm not ashamed to say that occasionally I am ignorant in the ways of the pirates.
Oh. Like I said, you're not a criminal like some people.
Like that guy. And he's not too smart who's selling the fire sticks at the girls' right softball. Guy. And he's not the smartest guy.
No.
When I see him, I'm going to show him that episode just to stick it to him.
So 1.2 million people have signed the remove the new Snapchat update.
And it won't work. It'll just be like with Facebook, where it won't work. Petition. The only way it'll work, because the petitions are useless, is if next quarter they were able to say there was less engagement. If they were able to actually see
that's what they care
quantitative
about.
Proof, that, that's what they care
and
about.
And do they would if maybe- I do what I just did, which is make a Snapchat video and then post it on Instagram, that still counts for them? As
I don't know. I don't know what what signals they're looking at, because they might be how many stories are you watching, how many messages are you sending, how often are you logging
in. They need people to watch the stories, don't they?
Yeah, that's what they really need, is they need people to watch the stories, watch the ads. And if they start to see that going down, then I think they would reverse course and change again. But until that happens, you know, you could have 10 million people sign a petition. No one cares. But I will say I agree with Owen. I mean, because I'm not a teen, but I love the teens. And, you know, they're all about Instagram using the Snapchat filters. And Instagram has copied all the good parts of Snapchat.
So even if Facebook is hemorrhaging people under 25, hemorrhaging 2.8 million, big deal.
Wow.
That's no cause for concern. Mark says, that's fine. So, we got you with Instagram. So
two things. One, no Russian hackers on Instagram.
That's true.
Two, there's no comment section with Bebop and Rocksteady either. So when you have Instagram comments, somebody might say, you're ugly, you're fat, you're whatever. You don't get a Bible verse about guns or dinosaurs or dogs or Russia.
And you can block stuff. You can block people. You can turn them off.
Yep. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
And I have to say, the ads on Instagram get me every time.
Yeah, me too. I bought stupid phone cases and masks. Yeah, I bought like bras because of Instagram. Absolutely.
Me too.
They're making so much money off of I'm nobody, but let me put up an Instagram ad, people. It drives me insane. Some dude in St. Louis with three followers has got an Instagram ad. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
But they get regular. I see so many more regular people paying for Instagram ads right now. It's really freaking me out. So they're getting money.
It works. And Messenger, you think has a coherent, it feels like Messenger's kind of a mess.
People use WhatsApp.
That's Facebook property too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
It's better than Messenger though.
But yeah, I mean, people use Messenger, I think, in large because they have to. Because if you're
Messenger's the one messaging app everybody has. Yeah, you could say Signal, but I can't convince anybody to use it.
Well, no, but you see, if I get a message from Facebook and I don't have the Facebook app on my account, I just go into it via its webpage, I can't read that on the webpage because Facebook is intentionally.
They've separated it out so that you install it.
You've got to have Messenger on there, and it grinds my gears, something rotten.
I agree with you because it's two apps. But that said, it's interesting. There are a few people that I have conversations with exclusively on Messenger. The rest of them, you know, is either iMessage or Signal or whatever. I don't really use WhatsApp, but I know that's really popular. But between WhatsApp and Messenger, I mean, they kind of own the majority of the messaging space too. So it doesn't matter so much if the teens are leaving Facebook proper. I'm sure they're not happy about that, but it would be more problematic if they were leaving Snapchat, or not Snapchat, if they were leaving Instagram. But since they're not leaving Instagram, you know, they can still advertise and they can still get that information. And then I think the long-term goal, whether this works or not, would be to then somehow say, okay, well, now you have a reason to use Facebook proper once you age out of something.
So, in your experience with the youngsters, the Utes, is that they are completely happy with Instagram. They'll still use Snap to make their stuff, but the Instagram is a platform they like.
Yeah, but they just don't want to be on Facebook because Facebook is argumentative.
That's mom. It's also where mom and dad
are on it. Yeah.
Facebook has been told to stop stalking Belgians. How many times have I heard that? Or face fines of €250,000 a day.
Yeah, the EU takes privacy really, really seriously, and it's about time American companies realize this, because GDPR is rolling down,
baby.
And there are going to be some big, big fines.
So the Brussels court said that Facebook doesn't provide users with enough information on what data it gathers or how long that data is retained. They focused on cookies, social plugins, the share button like button is a big one, invisible pixels, and how Facebook uses them to collect information on people's browsing behavior. The German court last week ruled that Facebook hadn't done enough to alert people to the pre-ticked privacy settings on its mobile app, the defaults. So Facebook's starting to get some pushback. You think this is GDPR?
Oh, this is the
privacy
be,
protection
I've,
law.
I've been, you know, talking myself blue with American companies about this because they just don't get it.
Facebook did add a feature where you can delete your account thoroughly and completely.
Yep.
Probably because of GDPR.
That's what it was. Yeah.
But a lot of American companies and a hell of a lot of Asian companies just don't get it. If you've got an EU customer, you need to
go along with this, and the fines are going to be massive. So get it sorted out. We're running out of time on this. And this Facebook says, you know, we've got this sorted. It'll be fine. I'm unconvinced, but I would love to hear what everyone else has to say on that.
This isn't that big a deal. It's not like Facebook's the kind of company that would direct you to a VPN and have you set it up.
Oh,
on your own
Nevo! Perish
the thought.
Really, Ian, just
look at this. This is the this is
company.
Protect yourself
with a
VPN. Onavo Protect for Android, for iPhone. It's
for
save
everybody.
Measure protect your mobile data. Does it
We're
say anywhere who owns this company? Does it mention that it's owned by?
The Facebook company based in Menlo
Facebook.
Park.
Why are you asking questions, Uncle Leo? Don't you trust in Google Home and everybody looking at your stuff? Why are you going to ask these questions?
Well, I'll be honest. I don't trust
Who
Facebook.
Breathes?
If Facebook made a virtual assistant that I put in my house, I would not use that.
No.
Oh, it's coming. Their speaker's coming.
Are they going to do a speaker?
Yeah, it's
good.
It's
I can't wait to get it.
It's rumored to be coming later on. But
really? How interesting.
July.
Look, this is the
really?
Payoff. Wow. This is the payoff you always have with a VPN, is that they have your browsing history.
Yep.
Now, it's who do you trust your VPN?
Yeah. Not Facebook.
Do you go to someone like Facebook, which will monetize the hell out of it,
yeah.
or
right.
do you go to a small VPN who you trust and who has a decent record? You know, it's not a hard sell.
Or you spin up a VPS and install OpenVPN and run your own.
Yeah.
Well, this, Christina, is where you were talking about earlier with people in bank accounts and Bitcoin and not knowing something. This is where people don't have the knowledge of something.
Absolutely.
And Facebook just saying, here you go. This is where I feel bad for the consumer. Like, whoa, bro,
Absolutely. You
don't understand what's going on. Like the currency thing, I was like, whatever, you message the currency, you're on your own. But this is a violation. This is trickery.
Oh,
this is scurry.
How about
Bravo.
Facebook? Do you so if you use Facebook two-factor, which you should.
Mm-hmm.
They will send you a text message from FBOOK 36265, but then they have your phone number, and apparently they've been accidentally, they say, sending other
information. Please log in. Yeah, no, Kate Conger at Gizmodo wrote this great thing about how she set up this secondary Facebook account and to communicate with sources because she didn't want to do it from her main account, which fair. And she didn't log into it very often, but she had two factors set up. And then Facebook is sending her text messages all the time. Please log in. Please do this. Please do that. And then it was only after she wrote about it that Facebook's like, oh, our bad. We didn't
Whoops.
Mean to do that. We're
Oops.
Sorry. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
No.
Alex Stanos,
no.
their chief security officer, said, oh, that was a bug. That was a mistake.
Sure it was.
Because the funny thing is, if you responded to the FBOOK, it posted on your timeline.
You know what? You know, see, this is where I don't trust anything. I just found out last week when I made another Gmail account that I can only have so many phone numbers for them to verify. I have a burner phone that every single text, that's all this phone does. It's a backup phone. If
that's
my phone
smart.
Breaks, I take the SIM out.
Smart.
But everything gets texted that. My two auth goes to that phone only. And you can't imagine the spam texts I get. I've got stuff from strip clubs to mom and pop shops. And I don't know who's sending them, but you can't trust nobody with your phone number, Uncle Leo.
Well, that's
no
random. They're just doing random phones numbers. I don't know if they're necessarily that there's somebody at the
I don't know that it's not, Uncle Leo. I don't know that it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, last month I was down at the Enigma conference, and they got a guy from Google there, and he was saying less than 10% of Gmail users have two-factor turned on.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
If we're talking, and that's just a simple two-factor, instead of people where they get an SMS message,
Well, that's because they don't make it easy to turn on. I mean, I think that if Google cared about turning on two-factor, and this goes for all the companies, if they cared about turning on two-factor, they would prompt you to do it frequently. They would make it easier to do, and that would be part of the process. Instead, what they do every so often when you log in from a different, location or different IP, it'll say, hey, is this backup email and backup phone number for you correct? But it doesn't say, hey, while you're here, why don't you turn on two-factor? So yeah. I think part of it is obviously, I think a huge part of it, the reason less than 10% is because Google doesn't prioritize people turning it on. That's not something that they've wanted to design for. If they wanted people to use two-factor, they could very easily, change up. And the same thing goes for Apple, same goes for Facebook, same goes for any of these companies. They could, make it part of the login process to highly encourage people to use two-factor, but they don't.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, we were talking about sort of Facebook VPNs. If we're saying that people have trouble with Gmail's two-factor, think how much trouble they're going to have setting up their own VPN. And for
exactly,
Facebook to turn around and say, oh, this is
right,
really easy, just
app.
Don't look behind
exactly.
the curtain about what we're doing. That's just...
Well, precisely. And if you look at the language that they use around that VPN, they're not promising you privacy so much as they are saying, oh, well, you know, this is a secure way to do something, but they're not claiming we won't capture everything that you're doing and then sell ads on it. You know, but people hear VPN and they think, oh, well, that's a safe way to do something. They're not actually considering the motives that, that Facebook might have.
And that's wrong.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's kind of a depressing week. Jeez. Mobile World Congress is coming up. Anything happy there? Anybody going to Barcelona?
No, thank goodness.
No? Have the same now. See, it used to be, oh, I won't go to CES, but I can't wait to go to Barcelona. You don't even want to do that anymore.
No, you see, I used to go to it back when it was known as 3GSM.
Yeah.
And it was held in Cannes rather than in Barcelona. Now, and that fell apart because the Cannes mobile network couldn't handle the fact that, you know, 30,000 people with four mobiles apiece came in and you were suffering drop calls. Don't get me wrong, Barcelona's a lovely city. The pickpockets are insane, but it is
a lovely city. But it is very pretty.
But Mobile World Congress is just too big, and it's become like CES. Yeah. It's a show for salespeople. It's not a show for finding out.
Well, then I'm not going to say anything about it. Forget I even mentioned
it. I mean, Samsung will be showing off the S9, right? I mean, that's the plan.
The camera, so, reimagined. We will actually stream live coverage of this next Sunday.
I want to see what Nokia is doing out there.
What is it, 8 a.m., 9 a.m.? Really early in the morning.
Nokia, the sales figures that came out, I was actually really
shocked
by.
They're outselling. They're outselling like all these other guys.
Yeah, I was very impressed and surprised.
And that's with their Android smartphones, right? They're not the 3310, candy bar phone.
No, that's a toy, but I mean, I've just cracked the screen on my current phone, and I was looking through the alternatives. You know, that Nokia 2 looks pretty good. You know, lousy processor, but great battery life, and that's what I look for. So, you know, I mean, I'm
Nokia
curious to see
Nokia has an event a week after Samsung's event, February 25th, and it will be... Oh, no, that's the same. That's also the Samsung day.
Same day,
That's both next Sunday. Well, we'll have to cover both. We expect to see the Nokia 9 as well as the Galaxy S9. It's nice how they've all kind of coalesced on 9.
I'd be curious to see how well the Snapdragon Snapdragon processor
45
actually works in practice, because it's been built up and built up,
right?
And usually when that happens, it comes in for a hard fall when it comes to testing.
And ironically, Qualcomm's already talking about the next generation.
I know, of course they are.
Which is always
2 gigabit modem.
But you see, they're beating everyone else in the market like a redheaded stepchild. So I mean, it's just a question about getting in there and taking people's mindset.
Anand did publish their performance review of the 845, setting the stage for the flagship Android phone of this year. All of them will use the 845, except, of course, Apple.
Right.
It's interesting, though, if you compare the numbers, how close Qualcomm has now come to what everybody was raving about, the Apple A11 Fusion processor. And now, I think, a little catch-up time now for Qualcomm.
Well, they've also got so Qualcomm and Samsung have got the really ultra low level architecture now that Intel can't get right, and you know it's looking like it's going to be we're at a real crux point here, because once you get down into 10 and 7 nanometer architectures, the amount of problems you've got in just building the chips in an economical way, and Intel hasn't cracked this yet.
No,
Samsung and Qualcomm seem to have got there, but.
Is the 845 10 nanometer, or it's the next one?
I think it's 10. This one's 10, and then they're going down to 7.
They're going to 7. holy cow. Yeah. Amazing. Look at the 3D Mark slingshot measures. The Qualcomm 845 outpacing everybody by a good margin, including the iPhone 10, the Google Pixel 2 XL, which are neck and neck, this S8, and then the rest going down. That's a future mark benchmark.
Can I ask you a question? What do people think people are doing with their phones?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they're not Bitcoin mining, or are they?
Well, I think that the next step, right, is that it won't just be our phones, right? Like, I think that's going to be the next step. Obviously, you see the Windows on ARM stuff, and there's all the rumors about, you know, potentially, you know, Mac OS at some point running, you know, on ARM. And I think that that's kind of the next step, is that it's not just one of your phones.
That's because Apple's like, their pro version is now pro consumer, and their Mickey Mouse and all their equipment. That's actually a problem. I don't want that. I want their pro stuff to stay pro, but I get what you're saying. And if it's going that way, that's going to make me mad.
well, Well, but I mean, I think in theory, I mean, you're looking at, if you're trying to build something like a MacBook, right? Or if you're trying to build like a low level laptop at this point, the Intel stuff, as Ian's pointing out, really hasn't, they haven't been able to the kind of catch up in the same way that Qualcomm is. And so if you could have the advantage of having great battery life, the support for a modem, so you could actually have always on connectivity, and now your processors, because they're so much, you know, smaller, that the nanometer level are even more power efficient and better performance. Like, why would you not consider, if you could get the software to run the right way and not have huge performance hits, why would you not consider making that your platform for a laptop?
I just worry we're going to get back to the old Wintel situation, whereby ever and ever faster processors get released and the operating system manufacturers respond by bloating and bloating their OS out that much more to justify the need for these new processors. Yes. You know, for most of us, unless you're watching video or playing a really high-end game on your mobile phone, you don't need the ultra-spiffy, fast processor.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're just browsing and reading ebooks on your phone, just get a lower-grade processor and save yourself a fortune.
Well, especially since most of the apps have not been written to take advantage of it.
You know, this Windows on ARM is going to be an interesting test of that, because it's acknowledged. Well, it's obviously slower, but mm-hmm. with, they call it all day battery life. If that's what people want, they'll buy it. My guess is that's not what they do want that, but what they don't, nobody's going to buy a slower.
We've been down this way with Windows on ARM before, and I wish them all the luck in the world, but if they actually do it, then I'm not going to say eat my hat, because I quite like my hat. So I would be severely, severely surprised.
I mean, I will say, and obviously this is some bias of where I work coming in. I do think the approach from what's been publicly released, and that's all I know. I don't know anything else, but from what's been publicly released, the approach this time is at least different, and I think that's important. Okay. This isn't Windows RTL over again.
I would love to get hard numbers on every time Apple comes out with someone from the Unreal to play a game on their phone, and they tell you how much faster your phone's going to run. When every time I see somebody playing a phone is splashy or two dots or Kalamazoo crossword puzzle, nobody's on their phone out here trying to go into the Matrix. But they come out here every year and tell you that you're going to be able to do something you could never do before. Watch a monster run. Nobody's doing that on their phone. Nobody's spending $9.99 on that stuff. I get your point is extremely valid, but in a common sense word, I'm like, man, how much faster do I need one, this nanogigabyte phone to
the make? The one place, the camera. We had a really good piece yesterday by DP Review on the computational photography in the iPhone X and the Pixel 2 XL. Mm-hmm. And they are doing amazing stuff because of the processing power.
That's very true.
I mean, these aren't great sensors. These aren't great lenses, but they are getting – basically, DP Review's conclusion was practically micro four-thirds quality images on the Pixel 2 XL with a sensor that's one-ninth the size.
Yeah,
and the Pixel 2 does great stabilization. That's done by the processor.
Yes, it's amazing.
So yeah, that's where you can shut me up. We talk about photography and video. I'm on board with that. Let's processor it up. Everything else,
processor it up, baby. Frivolous. Says Owen JJ Stone. Let's take a break. I'm getting a bunch of Snapchat messages. I want to read them.
Okay.
But the kids today, you know how they are. But our show today. Before we do that, I want to play a little video, a little movie. We got the guys in the back room. They've been working. It's fun. It's cute. Watch.
Previously on Twit.
Look, I found a pistachio nut in my pocket. Would you like one?
I normally don't eat things out of your pocket. That's something I've learned.
And also, this is so I know I don't forget my name.
Oh,
yeah, that's nice.
Security Now.
There are now experiments being conducted with drones being used to move essentially a spy outpost into an unsuspected location. Just worth planting the seed that lack of proximity to radio is no longer any true security.
The new screensavers.
What makes smartphone cameras so good? DP Review has done a deep dive on this.
It's building a heat map. The darker red it is, the more out of focus and behind the focus plane the object is. Once it has this heat map, it then just replaces every pixel with a circle, basically a disc. That's why
it looks like bokeh. Yeah. Oh my God.
Twit, bring your brain We'll do the rest.
That article is really worth reading in a DP review. They've got lots of images, and they even have some examples of, because they got information from Google and Apple on what they're doing. It's kind of mind-boggling. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans, the greatest lender in the country. They've done so much to change how you borrow to buy a home. And now Rocket Mortgage is, this is kind of the pinnacle of it at all. They decided, Quicken Loans did, that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's why they put together Rocket Mortgage. It gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing loan because, well, it starts by being simple. You can do it. It's so simple you can do it on your phone. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to go to a lender. You don't have to go to the attic to get material like your pay stubs or your bank statements. Everything you already have in your head is enough. Just name, address, birth date, social, things like that. And then it's really convenient because their trusted partners let you share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage just by saying go. And that means you don't have to get all this information. Rocket Mortgage will get it for you. Crunch the numbers. And because of computers, they can do this all in minutes. And then based on your income, your assets, and your credit, Rocket Mortgage will give you the home loan options for which you qualify. You pick the down payment. You pick the rate. You pick the term. And you're done. And all of this took minutes. You could do it at an open house. It's that fast, that easy. For a refi, they've got great choices of rates. I've talked to some of our fans in the studio. They said, yeah, we just refied. We got the best rates from Rocket Mortgage. You can go there right now and shop around. Go to rocketmortgage.com/twit2. And if you're going to an open house later this week, bring your phone along with you. You never know. You can literally get loan approval right there. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. RocketMortgage.com/twit2. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030. RocketMortgage.com/twit2. We thank them so much.
They hit it out of the park with their commercial with Keegan Michael Key.
Didn't you love that?
Oh, man, it was great.
The Super Bowl commercial? What was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? I know you were busy watching the game, but...
I thought this year's Super Bowl commercials were trash.
You know what I love?
Absolute trash. Don't tell me Tide, because I'll come put a stain right on your shirt.
I love Tide. I thought that was brilliant. Because every time a commercial came on, you thought, is this a Tide commercial? And it basically, they owned your mind share the whole darn game. Well, not you, but everybody else. You're busy going, I love you, Nick Foles. I love you.
They didn't own anybody's mind share. Do you know why? Because nobody woke up the next day and said, Ty, wait, what's up? Like, where's the beat? People go around the world with a great commercial and repeat over and over again. Nobody in the history of man woke up the next morning and said,
you know what the kids... You know what the kids call beer in Boulder, Colorado? Dilly dilly.
Oh, my God.
Dilly dilly. They say, I'll take a dilly dilly. I disagree. I agree. Sometimes viral doesn't do any good to you. But I think, first of all, nobody changes their detergent preference ever.
I'm talking about this specific
one. You choose what detergent you're going to buy when you wash your first clothes in college. Right, Chris? You remember this.
You're dead on, and that's why I'm a Tide.
And you'll never change. You don't even need to think about it. It's just I buy Tide.
Do you know how Tide could have had everybody in the nation?
I don't do the regular, but yeah.
Yeah.
Tide could have had everybody in the nation talking about Tide the next day if they would have ran that many commercials and said, Tide Pods, don't eat it. He pops up out of a Doritos bowl. Don't eat it.
That actually would have been funny. I kind of wish they'd done that, but
me too.
That would have been
don't
a great commercial. I was in front of
Tide, don't eat it.
Everybody in the morning would have woke up talking about, don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
Anyway,
turn on Ian's mic.
The ShmooCon security conference last month, they had some guys wandering around with Tide Pod bags filled with beef jerky, just like chewing away. Disgusting. Just like
I think Twix or somebody, one of the candy things, are making Twix candy pods.
No.
Yeah.
What's wrong with children? What's wrong?
They're not children. Children actually do eat Tide Pods and detergent and Dawn and all kinds of stuff by accident. These are 17 to 28-year-old, usually Caucasians, doing a Tide Pod.
What's wrong with Caucasians these days?
I couldn't find one brown person doing it. I looked. I searched.
But it's just the people just daring each other to do something and then they run wider, throwing up and find themselves
and then most of the time they're not even really eating them. They're just like biting into it and then like, yes, mime, you know, it tastes so bad. It's like, okay, you know, it's yeah.
Are you saying black folk are too smart to do that, Owen? Is that what you're implying?
I'm saying not even too smart. I'm saying if a black kid bit into a Tide Pod, his mom would beat him.
She said, I've been meaning to wash your mouth out with soap for a long time, kid.
1789, and you over here biting. You ain't getting no clean clothes for a week.
That's the thing. That's what happened.
Asian, like, you parents, you no clean clothes. Dude, everybody else, you know. Yeah. Oh, Billy, you ate all the Tide Pods.
Billy,
and I guess we got to go to Target.
Stop eating the Tide Pods, Chad.
Yeah, there's culture is a little bit different for certain things. That's all I'm saying. Especially when it comes to butt whoopings.
Here's a guy who's not getting a butt whooping. Ryan Murphy, this blows huge my mind. So I know you're not a Steph Curry fan. We know that about you, Owen J.J. Stone.
His name is Wardell Curry.
I'm sorry.
His mama named Wardell. So
Wardell.
His
birth certificate. I didn't mean Wardell to start this whole thing again. But Wardell, what was his deal with the NBA? I think $200 million for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's an amazing ball player. Ryan Murphy just did a deal with Netflix, $300 million for 5 years.
Yep.
He's making more than Steph Wardell Curry.
Well, yep, he brings in more to Fox, or he has brought in more to Fox over his
he did Glee. He did Nip Tuck. He did American Crime Story.
He did Popular. He did American Horror Story. And now the American Crime Story, OJ, you know, people.
He did the OJ. That was a good one.
Which is fantastic. Now the assassination of Gianni Versace. I mean, let's be honest. He has been the main prestige person behind FX as a network.
He says, the history of this moment is not lost on me. I'm a gay kid from Indiana who moved to Hollywood in 1989 with $55 in savings in my pocket. So my dreams have crystallized and come true. But that shows you, this guy's a showrunner.
So
that's how much he's worth to Netflix. $50 million, $60 million a year for 5 years.
He brings in the bucks.
He does bring it in.
Two things. One, athletes have a cap. So Wardell could have got more than $200 million, but there's a whole cap that keeps him down. Secondly, Netflix, could you please stop paying people this money? Okay? Just stop it. Okay, go to the dude and say, hey, would you take $40 million a year? And how about this? Let's
Owen,
do a five-year
Owen
deal.
Wants a let's salary cap for streaming media.
I want a
media
salary cap on Netflix. They're paying. The money that they pay is unsustainable. How does Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle just got $250 million.
How much did Rock get for Tambourine? Specials? Do you know?
$50
million. $50 million for that million. One?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's only an hour. Bro, it's you can't sustain it.
No wonder he was smiling.
Shonda Rhimes
had the wrong business.
Shonda Rhimes got, I think, $200 million or $250 million when she left ABC for Netflix. But I mean, to Ian's point, I mean, you know, he has brought in more than $60 million a year for Fox.
So, I don't know if I have to say
Netflix don't have no commercials. That's my money. Netflix is out here spending my money. The difference with Fox is Fox puts up top.
But you're happy. You're happy that they're so.
I'm not going to be happy when Netflix is $42 a month. Okay, bro. I'm not. I don't care how many times they tell me they're going back in the past.
Well, this future. I don't think anybody thinks this is going to last forever, because obviously it won't. But since we are in this golden age of content, I'm not going to hate on Ryan Murphy or Shonda Rhimes or any of these creators getting these huge paydays. It is interesting, though, how this happened, because Ryan Murphy, I think most of us thought that he would have been at Fox forever.
He's worried about the Disney thing.
Well, that's exactly it. And apparently Disney was in advanced negotiations with him to you know, ensure things would happen. And I think he was concerned, and probably rightfully so, that the subject matter of his content might not be a good fit for the Disney brand. And so Netflix used that as an opportunity to kind of say, okay, we got you.
He did 9-1-1. I didn't know that. That's the new one. Is that any good? It looks good. The promos look good.
No, Reno 911 is great, but no, I've seen it with Connie Britton. It's good, and I like the Versace show that's on. I mean, I thought that the People versus OJ Simpson was the best
wonderful
thing that aired in 2016, and it gave us.
You're too young, though. You don't remember. Do you remember the OJ trial at all?
I do. I was like 11, but I was obsessed. because the
and
soap opera is there.
By the way, you can thank that trial for the Kardashians.
Oh, I know.
I know. It was actually funny. I remember when the sex tape happened, I was like, is that Robert Kardashian's kid? Like, that was my first thought, because I was obsessed at 11 with the OJ trial. No, but I mean, I've been a Ryan Murphy fan since he had a show on the WB network called Popular, which no one but me watched. And then he obviously, Nip Tuck was his first big success, but he's gone on with American Horror
Story.
He
says in the New York Times article, he was so worried about the acquisition by Disney, he went to Robert Iger, the chief executive there, and said, am I going to have to put Mickey Mouse in American Horror Story? That is, of course, every content creator's nightmare, right?
If it was done right, I'd kind of watch that.
I would watch that.
If there was a bacon slicer, hot pokers, and a pair of pliers involved, maybe.
I'm not against anybody getting their money, like Rhymes and this dude even getting a deal for 5 years. I get that. It's a sustained period of time because they're doing multiple shows, multiple hours. It's just like when I see, again, I love Chris Rock. I watched the show 3 o'clock in the morning as soon as it came out. But I'm like, it was 55 minutes of somewhat laughter, and then it was over, and I had no more of it. And $50 million. And I'm like, whoa, bro, y'all just out here tossing out change. Like,
that is kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's no, I mean, it's the same thing with Dave Chappelle. It is an amazing amount. Oh, it's crazy. But it's I mean, that's right now anyway. And again, this is not going to last forever. But as they go after, you know, expanding and getting more and more subscribers, and they have been gaining subscribers every quarter.
That's the key. And I think there's some onus when you get new subscribers, you can't lose them. So
you can't.
They are now on a treadmill. They have to continue to produce content that keeps those new subscribers and generates more. And that's going to be very challenging, I think.
It is. I mean, the thing, if you know this from HBO has known this for years, and obviously, you know, they are one of the most profitable, if not the most profitable part of Time Warner, is that it's cyclical in terms of when people would subscribe and then drop the service. And that was one of the reasons why they launched HBO Go and HBO Now, is they basically said, you know, you can have all of our catalog content on demand as well. But people used to, you know, like in the Sopranos heyday and Sex and the City heyday, you know, they'd subscribe during those months when the shows were on and then unsubscribe. And you start to see, you know, people, you have to have this, especially with streaming, when you have people, when you release all the content at once, you have to have a constant influx of content. Yeah. Otherwise people will binge it and then cancel. And so you don't want to have, and people do that. There are cyclical things and people do, you know, cancel and resubscribe, but Netflix wants to be able to kind of convince people you should continue to pay your $12 or $15 a month if you're using the 4K plan, you know, for their service.
A second. How much is $50 million for an hour? That's $1 million.
That's just...
It's almost like $1 million a minute. It's $900,000.
Yeah, it's slightly less than $1 million a minute.
Yeah, should like $900,000. $900,000, I think.
Yeah, that's what I just said. $900,000, that's good money.
Hey, Google, how much is $50 million per second? That's probably not a well-formed question.
How many seconds, Leo? What are you talking about?
50 million
about?
Divided by 60 is what you want.
Put the phone down. What are you doing? Just stop it. We're good.
I know what you want.
It's 50 million divided by 60.
I don't want to be sick.
How much is $50 million divided by 360?
I was going to say per minute, it's 833,000.
And then divide that again by 60 to get seconds. God, that's a lot of money. That's like
Floyd Mayweather makes $300 million for 12 3-minute rounds.
Yeah, but
boxes.
He's getting the crap beaten out of him.
He doesn't get touched.
Okay.
That's true.
Somebody's getting the crap beaten out of him.
Yeah, somebody else is, not him.
According to Google, it's 0.0138 meters.
Yeah, okay. I typed that one in wrong.
Did I tell you guys to stop?
All right, we began with a sad story, so I'm going to lift you up with a happy story. The FCC watchdog is investigating Chairman Ajit Pai because he relaxed media ownership rules right before conservative broadcaster Sinclair announced a $3.9 billion deal to buy Tribune Media. Without those rules, there is no deal.
And they pulled it together remarkably quickly.
Lots of synchronization between the chairman of the FCC and Sinclair Broadcasting. The FCC FCC Inspector General has launched an inquiry. We shall see. Of course, remember that Ajit Pai was for years a spokesman for
Verizon.
The industry, for Verizon.
I mean, I'm hoping this may lead us to say bye-bye Ajit Pai, but...
Bye-bye,
yeah.
Ajit Pai.
But
you'd like to write that headline, wouldn't you?
Oh, are you kidding? I'd maim someone else, certainly. No sense of kidding myself. But no, I mean, this looks dodgy as all hell. So this rule thing goes... I mean, to organize a $3.9 billion merger generally takes at least 6 months.
They must have at least had lunch to discuss it.
You know, and it's just within a couple of weeks of this coming out, it's like, oh, right, okay, we've got this, just happened to have this thing lying around, let's get in on it. It's shameless. I mean, I know he likes to make fun about himself about being an industry shill, but he is. It's as simple as that. I'll say it. You can sue me if he doesn't like it.
No, he absolutely is an industry shill. And unfortunately, I think if it were any other administration, any other climate, you might actually have...
Well, you're not, because it turns out that President Trump also... Christina. Met with Sinclair executives shortly before this. So,
exactly. If it were any other administration, this could be a real scandal. But come on, here, this isn't even.
This doesn't even rise.
No,
to the level of interest.
I know. I sometimes wonder with senior officials in this government if you could, you know, if there was photographic evidence of them with a shaved goat and a barrel of lube, they'd still be in the job on Monday.
You know what they do? They just say, I made a mistake. I'm going to see the Lord. Nope. I'm going to repent for my sins.
They wouldn't even say it was a mistake. They would make news.
That's so 2017. They don't apologize. They don't even do that anymore.
They would say the photos are fake. It's fake news. You can't prove it.
Didn't happen. Prove it. Okay, I'm
America.
Sorry. America. God bless it. I'm proud to be an American. I ain't going anywhere else, but sometimes I worry.
Hey, you're
living here. You're a citizen.
I'm not a citizen yet, but I am actually doing the revision and studying for the exams to become a citizen.
Washington, Jefferson. And then
Seen the questions they make you answer? I'm willing to bet 50% of natural-born Americans couldn't answer this exam.
All right, let's
see. No, you're not wrong. Most high school students couldn't. Yeah, you're exactly right, sadly.
Let's just ask a few questions from the U.S. citizen exam.
Oh, good grief. Okay, so you've got judiciary, executive.
Let's see. Here's free citizenship practice tests. All right. Let's practice. What is the supreme law of the land? This is multiple choice. Make it easy for you. The Supreme Court, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution?
Supreme Court.
Wrong.
The last one.
The last one. That's correct.
Yeah, but they interpret the Constitution. I always feel that's a super tricky question.
No, the Constitution is the right answer. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What are these words?
We the people?
We the people!
Yeah.
Yay.
Yep. All these truths to be self-evident. Yep.
All of the above. That's what it says. We the people's right. What is an amendment? A change to the Constitution, an addition to the Constitution, both A and B, or none of the above?
I would say both.
Yeah, it's both A and B.
Both A and B. Very good. One more. What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights. Yeah. Thank God.
Woo!
Although the Ten Commandments was one of the choices.
Which in some parts of this country, that's what people would go for.
Judge Roy would have said.
40%. 40% of America.
As Jim Jeffries said, when people shout at him, you can't change the Second Amendment, it's like, yes, you can. It's an amendment. That's what it means.
All right. We've now chased away everybody, so we probably should end the show. Ian Thompson, he's a Brit. You can blame him for Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage.
Oh, come on, not Nigel Farage, okay?
I draw the line there.
I had a cyst removed, which I called Nigel, because it was a fat, useless lump which just sat there and made life a pain for everyone. So,
Ian is at the Register, theregister.co.uk. He's wonderful. You must follow him.
You're a star yourself,
and you come here all the time, which is so nice of you. I really appreciate it. I know it's a bit of a drive.
Sunny Petaluma is not having you, as long as you're not having your eggs and butter festival. Yep.
And frankly, I would get Christina Warren on every week, too, because I just think the world of film girl.
Thank you so much.
Damn right.
Senior cloud dev advocate at Microsoft, but she's also, I feel like she's ours. Christina Warren. We just
absolutely. I'm Twit's Christina Warren for sure.
And let's not forget the great podcast you do on Relay. Yeah. I always say Replay.
Rocket, indeed.
With the fabulous Simone and Brianna. We love Brianna Wu too, so it's a,
she's on next week, isn't she?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah. She's got my vote, and so do you, Christina, if you ever decide
Thank
to
you.
Run.
Thank you.
And of course, oh, doctor. He's forbidden from running in 50 of the 52 states. But we still believe in him. IQMZ.com. Was there something wrong with that?
I just remember my revision, but I've also remembered it wrong when it came to the number of states.
I think it was President Obama said the 52 states. Oh.
I think it was.
It's coming from a good authority.
Uncle Leo.
Yes, sir. Would you like to give us your traditional farewell?
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody listen, if you got kids go to school or even got a coworker, tell your kids that I know we live in a world of no bullying and no making fun of people and no talking about people, but check with your kids to make sure that everything in school is okay. And start early so they feel comfortable telling you stuff, because if all these kids knew that there was something wrong with this kid, the problem is they're told not to rat on people or tell on people or talk about somebody being weird. You should talk to your kids to find out information that's going on in their day. And if something's making them feel uncomfortable, that you find out and know. Somebody was bullying a girl in my daughter's class. Since I talked to her, it wasn't bullying her, but I talked to her, told the teacher. The kid never went home and told their parents she was being bullied. She just was dealing with it. The teacher went in, dealt with the problem, talked to the whole class, didn't point anybody out. But the point is, you got to talk to your kids and be in your kids' lives, because you don't want to end up on the news talking about, I knew that such and such is going to do this and nobody said anything. So start early with your kids, especially if you got them on the internet and on the Snapchats and the Instagrams. Find out what they're doing, what's important to them and their day, because their day is important. I know you're working. I know you're tired. I know you just got a new iPhone. But check with your kids and ask them what's going on, because that stuff matters.
Just follow me on Snapchat, Daddy.
Yeah.
Owen, wave goodbye with your bird hat, would you? And as we say farewell to the Philadelphia Eagle. Eagles, what is it?
Till the battery dies.
Oh, till the battery.
It's still that.
I love it so much.
We remind you that Twit is every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC. You can watch live at twit.tv/live. Join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. Get the shows on demand at twit.tv or wherever your podcasts are. Subscribe, my friends. Subscribe. That way you'll get each and every episode. If you want to join us in studio, we had a lovely studio audience today. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. One last chance to take that Twit survey. We are wrapping it up. If you haven't yet done so, please go to twit.tv/survey. Once a year, we try to get to know you a little bit better. We promise not to violate your privacy in any way. No information about you, your email address, or anything will ever, ever, ever leave my lips. Everything we do in aggregate. You know, something about our audience being this or that, that kind of thing. Thank you for listening. Now, it is my unhappy duty to say, another Twit is in the can. Good night, everybody. Hey, old doctor. Right.